July 9th. Who's giving you prayer, Paul?
I'll offer it up.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for the many blessings we receive. We're grateful for this land that you've provided, and ask that we can be better stewards of it. We ask that you be with us here in this meeting, and we thank you for everybody arriving here safe. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Introductions, let's start with Linda and go around the table.
FLNC board member, 7th district.
I'm Harry Potter. Number 4.
I'm Laurel LeVanger, King County Firewoman.
Alan Aldridge, King County Church of Charity.
Talk to you again, for sure.
Participant.
Paul Brayton, Deer Springs Manager.
York Clayson, Deer Springs Owners Association President. Appreciate everybody being here. We anticipate Dave Turley every any moment, and John Harris should be here 1 hour late. Let's go down to Brent Palmer, item number 8, so we can kind of make better use of our visitors' time by jumping ahead on that agenda.
Hey, real quick, did you get a chance to go take a look at what road that Fred Sorrell was talking about? So that he's been taking care of it for a whole bunch of years, and that needs to be greater up there.
I know what he's talking about. I didn't go up and look at it, but I know the road he's talking about. Okay, we got Earl and Alan came out today, and working on the technical portion of the fire plan, and so I'll just kind of turn the floor over to Earl and then Alan and let them talk about their concerns and what they saw and what we're working on.
Okay, so with this community fire plan we've been doing out there, is everybody familiar with what it is, what it's all about? So one of the key things of having the plan. I think everybody's aware there is a potential for fires out here, and a lot of it's attributed to a lot of excess fuels. And the purpose of the plan is to identify, from your perspective, if there is a problem, and there's some of the things that you can take, some of the things you need to help other people to take, like the state and the BLM, and once the plan's in place, it enables them to come and work, get the funding to work by your property to make the fuel breaks or whatever. One component of the plan is the technical assessment. One is road, how many houses, how many structures, what percent of defensible space on each property, and here I'm assuming that's just going to be on the ones that have structures because there's a lot of vacant land on all the other properties. And then it takes into, you know, how long, the types of roads, are they dead ends, all kinds of stuff. And I sent a copy of the draft to Brent last night, but as soon as a little more worked out, I'll get it to Dirk and you guys can send it out to whomever. But some other stuff is the fuel, you know, what percentage, and what type, how fast fire will burn it. Another one's water supply, so we've been looking at where, if we brought a helicopter in, where could we get, where's our other sources to get water with the engines and something like that. And as we keep developing the plan, one of my goals is, like last year, there was a fire away from the ranch, but over in Mill Canyon, which would have threatened the ranch really fast. Right. And we brought the helicopter in and dipped a couple of buckets, a couple of loads out of the pond. One of the things I'd like to encourage the communities when they do it, if you have ponds like that that you control, is I guess we're supposed to ask permission even on fires to take your water. But sometimes to get that permission takes quite a while.
Yeah, can we kind of give you written permission?
That's what I, you know, and I spelled it out kind of in this plan that we can take so much water while we're trying to get permission. Because I know in the trout pond, you know, the fish are there. There's some other things we can do to not get the fish and stuff like that. And we're spelling it out because if there is a big fire and they bring a bigger fire management team in, they use that as part of their, what they can do, and the work's already done for them. So the more stuff we can get spelled out in advance that we have permission to use it while we're getting permission. And then once we do get all to come up, say, well, I don't want you dipping out of this pond, why don't you go to this one or something like that.
Right.
Well, if the more you guys are involved in it, it's going to speed up the process of putting the fires out.
Yeah, and we want to be super cooperative and helpful in all of that.
So that's one of the things we're doing, and we're just identifying spots like that, or where we could set a camp, where we can land the helicopter. And a lot of it I just put in right now in the airstrip of the meadows, or where, with the approval of the ranch manager.
Yeah.
So that part we're taking care of. And then that's basically that part of the technical assessment. And then with that in place, we go into the other things. What I was out here, it's the last time I come to talk to you about the little project, the demo project we're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get him to, now to commit to when he'll bring the crew out. He'll give me 2 days. And we're going to, just right now, I guess we're going to go. To get the money, we have to do a chip vest. The money's arranged through chipping files that the homeowner has made. So we'll go up to Murphy and chip right around the cabin some of the files they made. And that'll justify us for the funds. And we'll split the crew. And the other half will come down and work through the old patch where I flagged, with the primary starting side being on the south or the west side of the road, right along there, out to that pink river. And I think I sent you the specs on, to take everything up to 3-4 foot length that's usable, and make fence day, firewood, bigger part, whatever. And we'll just go as far as we can all the way here.
Yeah, the specs looked really good to me. Did everybody that had a chance to look? They looked all right. You know, I mean, it looked like there was some good aesthetic.
You know, we're not here to raise the village, you know. We need to make it look pleasing. You know, because you're the one that's got to live with it after we're gone. So we want your input.
Yeah. That's the test area that we are going to do next to do this project.
And then, hopefully, we'll have the funding approved. So there's a competitive grant for next year, and we can identify some other areas like we've been driving around. I think we've all talked about it. The biggest thing is ingress, egress, making sure we can get out the roads, trim them back to where.
Our key priority, too, that we'd like to see is to get a second road up through Broad Hollow into
We talked with Alan about that this morning, so he's aware of that issue from his angle, too. So, we're just, and that's about all I've got.
That's not in the monument, so hopefully.
It's field office, and
we can work through that with them.
And they're doing the big EA. And one thing I did, talk to Brent this morning about really quickly, is they're still in the EA process right now, and they made it a big landscape site. This is really small. But we did find a place or two up here that would be beneficial for not only us from the fire side, but you at the homeowner side. Some of these roads are fairly narrow when you meet. Every once in a while, where possible, and I'm assuming it's going to have to be with lot owner permission, we make a little pullout. to where people can park, pull over to let somebody go by.
Yeah.
And that would be, you know, because when you meet, sometimes you're going to have to back up until you find the spot. And that would be...
We can do that over a lot of places. We've got our easements are 25 feet on each property line.
30 on each property line.
So... That would be
that's a pretty good size easement. So
that would be something that we could work towards as part of when we're doing some of our trimming. We'll just cut that back in and establish the spot.
Yeah.
And then if you come in with equipment and cover stumps with gravel or whatever, we can work that into our greater scheme of things.
When you do this power cut, do we have volunteers to come up and help with you? If that's not possible, I was going to say it would be nice if some of our people could work with your guys or we have people up here to see how you go ahead and do it. It can be an education for us.
If, I think, if you want to come and watch, that would be okay, but I think our risk management from the state side, because we require everybody wear, you know, chainsaw, safety shaft, hard hats, everything. And this is, these guys work together every day, all day doing the same thing. You, we can let you walk and see what they do. But if, I think if we put too many people right with them, we'll slow them down.
Okay. Is this a thought? Maybe you can let us know, send us an email.
Well, I'll get it to Brent and to Dirk, and he can send it out.
Okay.
It might be within the next couple of weeks. I'm trying.
Okay. I'd like to, from our side, to document, you know, before and after pictures. Maybe a few pictures while it's going on, because that's part of our whole thing is to show here's how this experimental area went.
Yeah. And
obviously, we're going to have to do all this.
So that's why the specification I made was generic. And like when I first told Brent, I said, that's something you could give the lot owner. You know, it can be used anywhere. You know, you could use that specification on any of the roads.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So that's about mine. If Alan wants to. His first trip up here to your plane.
Wow. We got some questions for you, too, I think.
The logs for sale, too.
Well, yeah, we got some of that.
Some kind of things.
The fire side and stuff, I pretty much just heard a girl when you went to the interview, so I hope that you guys plan on what you're working on. You definitely got some concerns when we talked today about weather conditions are unfathomable.
Yeah.
So you got. You also got a real expect a little bit of that too. They realize they're going to come to the middle of the city and they hopefully have a little bit of preparedness on their own.
That's kind of
late compared to you. Just remember.
Our people are pretty good, but one of the things that I maybe have a question, I don't know if there's anything we can do about it. We get lots of tourists coming through here, not necessarily out on our private roads, but they get stuck around here, and so they kind of end up being our tenants as a result every year. Kind of crazy how stupid some of them are, but... I think we've worked pretty good with the county and helping people, you know, when we've needed to and stuff, but I don't know if there's any better solutions or anything else we should be doing differently or
signage. Sounds like in a lot of cases we don't even know, you're just going down and taking care of things for us, I guess that's
yeah.
Not a fault for you guys.
We sent our bill.
Then it's yours. Didn't get paid.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Or credited towards property taxes.
Oh, yeah.
But, what about some kind of sign, like here at the ranch area somewhere, that says, like,
next, you know, road conditions and no services and, you know, something.
No cell phone service.
Well, what I thought, or maybe even a sign that we would could flip, you know, like some of those signs when it's bad weather, that Paul could flip up, you know, or during the winter. I'm surprised that these people in really non-off-road vehicles will try to drive on the snow out here. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I think what really worked was that sign at the end there.
It said unimproved road.
Yeah, well, no. After we pulled those four people out, when they sent the grader and everything out, they put up a sign right in the middle of the road that said road temporarily closed. Right? You know,
the Forest Service in that issue, all their major roads go out in the forest.
They put a gate on
them. Well, right? This, you know, what they've done this year is just before the snow gets totally melted, they go out and put this road closed sign, so all the snow is totally melting off the road and the road dry, they temporarily close the road that way. The road dries and everything dries up, they go take the sign down. They just close it during that muddy period. So there was a sign put out there. Is it still available, or?
Oh, they took it off.
Yeah.
As soon as it was clear, they took it out.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you might want to talk to Bert. We're happy to have a sign here that we would even open up or something.
We were talking a little bit about the snow plowing, you know, before we went on the tour. And if they put a plow on the road just before after passing that over the road,
we should put a sign there.
Put a sign there. No maintenance, no services, you know, no human life out here.
Well, including yours.
I put a 4 foot or 5 foot snowbank and literally drove around.
They can only blame themselves.
Right.
But it's not going to stop them all.
I don't know.
Stop some of
them.
The average fee for pulling you out of here is $3,000.
You guys can charge anything you want.
I know. I mean, that's if they come in.
We need to put a sign that says, your GPS is lying.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Do not trust your GPS.
Well, we were thinking about putting a sign. Ramsey's towing $400. Deer Springs towing $800. You choose.
Wow.
I don't think Rams will come out here for you.
Anyway, something to keep thinking about. Maybe if there's a sign out here we could use, that would be good.
Yeah, we'll definitely address that.
And
it's a big, huge safety issue.
We worry about it. I know we could just turn a deaf ear to it, but it's hard to turn a deaf ear to somebody in need. So.
And there are many.
They do, and they also. Everybody comes out here thinking they've got cell service. You know, it's not until they get here they realize they don't.
Okay, anything else for,
No, I think other than just let's finish up with the fire plan, and then we can address, based on what his fire plan tells us, then we can start looking at evacuation routes, different areas, and how we actually get people out based on where the fire's at.
I think you guys are helping us, and I think it's right that we can help you even with saving and our ponds for areas that aren't fires on our property that might be near our property. So we're kind of
little ponds in past other bodies of water.
Not that you could probably dip out of. There's three there.
This one down here.
Might not be able to.
Yeah.
There's that one that's right below Fred Searle's that I noticed was full the other day.
There's three or four others, but they have water sometimes, and so I don't know that.
I went around
the aerial photos and identified most of them as full permanent or intermittent.
Yeah.
So there's one up by Nick, right up by Johnny Brown. Is there one? I'm actually something up there. Is there one there?
No.
Okay.
There used to be.
Fall apart.
Right.
On this fall apart. So that's the way it was. Closer than that, tropic reservoir.
Yes.
We can redig that middle pond, I think.
Well, there's the upper pond.
That'd be a nice one.
On our association lot, so that's, you know, it's only probably about 50 feet by 100 feet and only about 4 or 5 feet deep, so I don't know if that's big enough.
Depends on which helicopter. If they bring the big side crane in, he just needs to be under that much water because he's got a pump. He sucks everything up, like the one we had last year on the fire. They just have a hydraulic pump that they just cover and they just pump it up into the internal tank.
I think the best thing to do is to identify the ones that are there and then identify the ones that are usable year-round, usable seasonally.
What I plan on doing is I'm just going to give a list of all the known sources to the fire dispatcher, city, if there's any fire. I mean, they're all within a 5-mile radius or so.
Yeah.
And it's not that far to make the circuit, find out which one's the best when they get here.
Okay.
And then determine, and they can call back with the coordinate on the one they're dipping out of. And we can, after we get some more radios in here, if we have to, we can have Color Country call Kane County on the phone and have them call you on the radio and say, this is what we're doing. We can, you know, communicate with the people out here a little more readily, or if we get the other radios, you know, we're going to try and get more radios for the county repeater up on King's Hill. So you can have direct contact with the sheriff's office.
I have a question. Earl, if we end up with a large fire, say up at Bryce, and would they then be dipping into the pond like on a regular basis for a week and a half?
No, I think up on Bryce they're going to be dipping out at reservoir probably.
Oh, okay.
It's level.
Yes.
It takes a lot more to go up and down.
Yes.
You know, if it's on the forest up here maybe, but Bryce tropic reservoir is going to be the place because we're going to burn off all the fuel just lifting up to go back up to go to the fire where most of that up there is level.
Okay.
It's going to be Pine Lake or two, is it Pine?
Pine Lake.
Pine Lake.
But there's quite a bit. There's places in the river, in the East Fork River going down there. There's enough holes they could get out. Or we got these big portable ponds. We can put little pumps up and pump into it where they could dip out of that too. So.
Wow, okay.
Is that your pond spring-fed or is it getting off to it? How long is it?
Well, they're spring-fed.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But we don't want to take all your water either. We realize that. But if we can catch it and knock it down with a couple of buckets,
yeah,
that's what we want to do. Keep them small.
We'd rather lose the fire than our land. So.
Yeah, I would guess so, Alan, that if our ponds were emptied, it would take 3 weeks to fill them up or something. So it's not like they're going to replenish fast enough that they would be a source that's replenishing.
You've got wildlife. I mean, you've got animals. You've got fish stuck in the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't want to deplete it completely anyway.
Right. Cool. So, but that'd be a good, you know, initial source at least. Well, we appreciate you coming out. Saw quite a bit of lightning on my way out.
Yes.
Out that way?
Yes. Yes.
Looks like that's probably where they're at. They lost the
bucket.
They'll have a burnout.
All right, you guys. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
I'll work on that and get you another copy of the plan.
Okay.
I got to run the fuel models and the fire rate.
We do appreciate the fact that you guys actually like to put out fires as opposed to let them burn.
Yes.
Some of them need to burn. That's the best thing for the environment. You just try to keep up within reason.
Yeah.
Well, once you let them start, they're hard to stop.
Well, let's not make a new harmony thing out here.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that either.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Really.
Bye.
We're back again.
Oh, I love it.
You do?
I gave your wife my card, so.
Okay.
Just call. Well, I already got Russ working on something for me. So.
I'm trying to sell King County a lot, so they
hey,
can't
have time.
Okay. Sheriff's upstate. Alan's actually working on getting his pilot's license so he can fly the King County plane. And, you know, if he had to fly out here. So.
Alan was the...
What?
Just real quick.
The warden on it.
No, Alan's the sheriff.
Oh,
he's the sheriff.
He's
a sheriff, or is
that just right down here?
Well,
Alan's deputy, isn't he?
He's a deputy. He's a deputy, but he's the emergency services director. He's he replaced Dave Owens, who was just worked in the I think he was in like data management or something. I don't know.
Any need for release of liability? He gives them, you know. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a snag on one of our pipes or something, and now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I'm sure they know what they're doing, but it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be a good question for
them. That's a tank off the 40-gallon tank. Is that full now?
No, that's empty too.
The tank off the 40,000?
Is it full?
I think there is some water in there.
Okay, well, we need to hook up the sandpipe then.
Yeah.
I thought it was empty. I didn't bother to do it.
Okay. Item number four, financial report. Linda.
You're gonna have to talk to that guy.
It looks like the report is missing. I also did up this report for you, Paul. Nancy was trying to get the address in her account.
You have this that shows the budget next year. And I would just say, anytime you print this, always print it that version. So, budget to actual.
Every month I get something wrong. I feel bad about that. Right now we have $53,000 in the bank. That's it. And
so do you have a balance sheet? Yeah, so the $53,000 in the bank is well, that's assessments paid.
Is that unencumbered?
That's why I say we need a balance sheet. That just shows what's been paid. It doesn't, the balance sheet shows what's still in there. Coffee. So this report here looks good, Linda. And then the balance sheet is the other one that always needs to accompany this. So, looking through the profit and loss, does anybody have any questions?
Do you have a figure on assessments or not?
$42,000 not paid, according to budget. Let me just, apparently I'm the only one that has a budget to actual, so let me just go down through it there. Yeah, if you've got more of those will be the report for those.
So our budget for collections this year was 138. We so far have received 95,000. So we're 42,000 short, or we've collected 69% of the fees. I have an accounts aging summary here that I can kind of review and try to see what's going on, but we've done a pretty good job of working through those. Okay, so the balance sheet, which is here on the computer, we've got $47,000 in the accounts. So, you know, we're not hurting for any funds at the moment, but, you know, realize that we do collect the fees up front. And,
project it out to the end of the year.
Yeah, so we have to kind of anticipate these funds lasting through to, you know, the second quarter of next year. So, but I think we're on in pretty good shape, but we've got a couple of significant projects coming up here that we will probably have to hold on some until we get some of our assessments collected. Don't get panicked, not the water tank. So we can kind of discuss those.
I was thinking more than ranch house grill.
So our expenses year to date, we had a budget of expenses. Let's just look at some other inputs. Campfire cookouts, we anticipate 1,500, and I don't think that's happening. Are our reservations typical for this time of year? Do you know? Do you look
I think our reservations are doing well.
Bookings.
We've got 3 full weeks that we didn't have last year. We had a couple last year, but we've got several weeks
that are full. You had a report that you did for us some time ago that showed each year how many cabin nights and stuff. It would be nice to see that maybe with, you know, cabin weeks or cabin days so far this year to date.
That's the rule.
So, Paul, are people just not signing up for the cookouts?
I don't know. We really just started having people on Friday night. Just in the last, like, month.
It's just been a month.
So maybe we'll still have some of this.
I know we had a ton tonight. We had 5. Yeah.
Livestock. We budgeted 7,000. I don't know that we're going to. That was the Huntley's.
Just so you know, he has 80 cows.
Maybe we'll come. We'll get close to it then. We kind of have a thing that I'll talk about later about the Johnson's cattle. And I think if we didn't have that, we could put in 30 or more hunt cows and get paid for them. But we've got to deal with their stuff. Reservation fees, looks like we've got about half of the budget so far, so we might hit that. Wildlife income, I guess that's kind of a Larry question. What happened during the deer hunt? Do you have another one of these for Shauna?
I don't. With the budget for the vaccine.
Shauna Cox is also now joined us. Welcome, Shauna. Store sales, 3,000. They only have 300. We will see something there.
I think people are buying them for $4 megabytes. So they are. Actually, I think so.
So I think we're doing okay. On the spending side, fencing materials, we still have another almost 4,000 available for that. Yes, we've already overspent 200, but we're done with that, right?
Yeah.
And we knew that that would be a little over when they gave us the delivery. The projects we'll kind of talk about as we need to, but none of them have been over budget, but we obviously don't have the funds available to do them all yet, and that's what I was mentioning earlier. Ranch staff, okay.
We've been expensing the rest of the barn.
I don't think we've seen it. So how did it get sent, Dave? Okay, yeah. I haven't seen one here. Do you recall about what it was?
1,200.
So we appreciate you jumping on that and getting that done. So
we still have a really big issue with the barn here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to pick them down
on corner posts.
Yeah.
Material. So, I think we're looking great on the budget, but we're going to have to be a little bit careful about some of the projects. Any other questions about finances? Okay, number five, Ben Carson, water issues. Ben is unable to be here today, but I think we can talk about water tank. What's our latest on that, Paul, on scheduling?
It's early to mid August is the date.
And do you think, is it he kind of keeping that firm and not budging out again?
The last time I called, I told him, I said, you know, we don't want to drag our feet on this any more than we have to, so.
Houston.
His name's Kerry Houston. So he's got us on the books.
And how much was his bid again?
I think it was 15.
I remember 15.
16, 17, 17.
No, it's, it
didn't want to go that high. I can't
remember.
Yeah. Mike, but okay. It was 14.5.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's right close to 15.
Can I add something to this if we're done talking about the water tank?
Sure.
I've seriously been having an issue with not so much the lower system, but the upper system pumping water to the upper tanks. I'm only able to pump probably about 1,500 gallons at a time.
Because of the pump or just supply
of strain? Well, we've tested everything. I've checked pressure. I've increased the pressure to try and pump it up the hill. I've just recently switched tanks to try and pump it into the lower tank, and it's not even pumping into the lower tank.
But is the supply there?
It's the water's in the tank from the spring, but to be able to pump it up, I think the pump is going out. I've had Brent, I've had three or four other people looking at it. Our assessment is that the pump is starting to go out.
How much should it normally be pumping?
It'll pump about 3,000 gallons in about an hour and 20 minutes. And now you can turn that pump on and leave it for, what, 2-3 hours?
It off for 4 hours and didn't even pump it out again.
I personally think, I mean, we've looked for losing it in the water line somewhere. We can't find anywhere we've got a leak. Now, it doesn't necessarily always have to manifest itself upwards. It could be going downwards, but we don't think so. The only thing, and you know, that's like a 12-stage pump because it's a pressure pump because it's 285 feet of lift between where the tank is and the other tank. But the problem is that we're just not developing the necessary pressure and maintaining the necessary pressure to get the water up the hill. And, anyway.
But you said even when you're pumping in the lower tank where you don't have that head, you're still not...
No. The lower tank he's talking about, there's two tanks up there, up top. There's a 10,000-gallon tank and a 4,000-gallon tank. The difference in elevation is about 20 feet, okay? And so the truth of the matter is that there's, you know, you're still needing an extraordinary amount of pressure to get it up there. And I did the calculation, and basically we need 127 pounds of pressure to get it up there, you know, using 0.434 pounds per vertical foot. But the thing about it is we're getting up right on the cusp of that, but we're not getting...
Right.
You know, we're not getting up there. And the only thing I can think of is, and we had Bob Decker come up, and he looked at the voltage and everything and the amperage that was running into that, and it seems to be running an adequate amount of pressure, or an adequate amount of voltage, but we're just not getting the pressure like we used to. And, you know, the only thing I can think it would be is that the pump is wearing out.
Does it have a diaphragm in that pump?
No, it's an impeller pump. It's a...
What I think is happening is I can pump about 1,000 gallons into that upper tank, and then the pressure goes, you know, it's 127 pounds.
You know, it might be because the pump warms up too, because the current is
changing. That pump won't warm up, it's in cold water.
Yeah, the pump doesn't, the temperature on the pump doesn't change.
So I think,
not changing the clearances right now.
I think once it gets to a certain point, it's just hitting the wall.
It's solar bottom fill in the tank.
Bottom fill.
So it's pushing it.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, and that might become an issue if we ever want to certify that system.
Make it top fill.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You're going to overcome all that.
So I have an issue with that, which we need to discuss at some point. And then, just so everybody knows, having this tank and this pressure reducing valve off the line is making it really difficult down here in Hicksville. You know, we've had full cabinets. I haven't looked at them yet. I can kind of...
Can we take an action item?
Yeah.
To get a price on new pumps. What I'd like to see us do, I mean, normally we should have a new pump as part of our inventories. You know, it goes down, we take the old one out, we rebuild it, we put it, you know, on the shelf next time, so we've got two pumps.
And
what's the size of the pump on iCloud connection for something?
Well, the two pumps we're using now are both almost exactly the same. The one over here in the well field is, and the one up in and the one up there are both roughly 50 gallon a minute fill stage pumps.
What voltage are they?
They're 230 volt. 220. So anyway, they're both, and we have a spare pump. We have a spare pump in here, but it's only, unfortunately, it's a six-stage volume pump that'll push 100 gallons a minute, but doesn't have an adequate amount of head pressure. That was the old domestic well pump. And when the three 4,000-gallon tanks were up the hill right here, it was more than adequate.
How long have we had this pump?
The one that's in the spring up there,
mm-hmm.
It's been there ever since I've been here. So it's been 8 years, I don't know, you know.
When we pulled that one out, we put it back in the suit.
That's all we did, was we just pulled that pump out, put that one back in.
Wow.
I don't think we need a motion.
Okay.
Check the price and action item?
Yeah.
Get a few estimates on some pumps.
Make sure it stays on the agenda as an action item for next time.
I mean, I've tried to change the pressure, I've changed tanks, I've checked everything, just because I don't want it to be the pump. It's kind of a bad year for it to be the pump, or a bad time of year to be the pump.
There's never a good time.
Yeah. And,
wonderful.
So,
and that pump's not going to be too hard to change.
No,
it's not going to be too hard to change, because we made the effort to put a a wire on it. And so when we pull it out, you know, if you don't, we can actually pull it out and probably put it back in while there's still water in the tank. If you can't do that, then you have to dump all the water in that spring tank, climb down in there with on a ladder, carry the pump over and do it all. But we rigged it so you could actually pull the pump out when you from the opening.
The pump has to lay horizontal or
metal. Yeah.
It's down in the lower part of the tank, so it makes an L because the access is in the upper part of the tank. So it makes it tough. We worked all day on that.
Okay.
Well, let's see what it costs so we at least have that dollar figure.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Zechariah?
He knows that.
Before we get off water, can we talk about one other thing?
I think we're a long ways away from getting off water, but
okay, sure. Okay. The old sand pipe that was in Slide Canyon, where there used to be a flow of water coming out of it, not working anymore. But this year, the water started flowing from the willows up above that, and for a long time it was running over 10 gallons a minute. Now it's still running about 2 or 3 gallons a minute. Still coming down through there, but it's hitting that filled-in middle pond. If we could find some way to get that dug in this winter, we could have another pond on the site. You know, once it dries up and you get a bulldozer in there, we pull it out and it flows again like that, we would have a nice clear pond in the middle of Slide Canyon again. Now the trouble is that's going to fill up with silt.
I got to redig mine too.
Yeah. Every time we get a huge rainstorm and so forth like that, so it might only be temporary.
Well, is there some way to design it so that large flows go around it?
Probably could be. Right. And it's going to all go in there. There's oxygen, but you know, the other thing is also when we have the tractor up there, we could drill the upper. I mean, we got the upper one and do that, make a silt basin there, and then we got the bypass on the middle one, so that a lot of that carried around it, and that would be. I mean, that was always a viable pond for years.
Yeah.
And until it filled up, and that water's flowing enough now, that would be full for sure. And even if we dug it down 15 feet or something like that, it would be full water. So, I think it'd be worth to make that enhance that size of the ranch tremendously.
Let's give that a name.
George. George Pond.
Middle Slide Canyon Pond or something. I don't know.
Slide Canyon Pond.
No, Slide Canyon Pond.
Okay. Well, Slide Canyon Pond.
When we went by it today, we were looking at it, and it's one of the few places that you can find in Slide Canyon that's got permanent water. You know, if you could have a nice pond, it would be a great place for the wildlife to water.
Yeah.
Slide Canyon Pond.
And we've definitely, and of course, we don't have any cows over there anymore, but when we did have cows, oh, you know, it was a nice place for the cows to water over there.
Can you put that on the agenda also?
Dig out Slide Canyon Pond.
It's to be diesel, because it's what I put it on.
Easy access to get to it.
No, it's a piece of cake to work on. You know.
Is there a place to put the material that would come out of it?
I put it on the sides.
Yeah.
It kind of sloughs down in.
Yeah, it's down lower, yeah. Exactly. You could just go back and forth and actually make a pond and have a go right up on each side. And, it's actually, from a pond perspective, it's actually a real sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Is it on anybody's particular lot?
It's actually a BLM lot. I think it's on BLM property. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it is.
It's not on anyone's lot.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where the spring comes from. It might be on somebody's lot.
I think so.
But it's a nice pond. And the other thing, too, is it would be a real nice pond. It would be a real nice pond to have when... right there. Well, for people over in Slide Canyon, say they want to go down to the pond, you know, rather than driving all the way over.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I mean, that could.
Used to fish in there.
That'd be a really idea, another place to stop.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Lake dog fishing everywhere.
Heavy snowfall.
I think also when the cattle popped down where the sandpipe was, finally sealed it off, and it's taken 2 or 3 years for it to break through again. Now it's because I've never seen water running like it did last year.
Put a subcategory on it to discuss with the BLNF.
But it's always been an established pond. That might not be
Well, I know it was good 30 years ago. He's a fisherman.
Okay, let's get back to our culinary systems here. We have the new PRV valve, right?
We do.
So we haven't put it in. And we can do that now, right? We don't need to wait for anything other than your time.
Right.
So we ought to get that done before we have the tanks.
Okay. Yeah, it has to be, in order to put the tank back online, we'd have to put that on there.
You've already got the plans on the center block and everything.
Well, what we're planning on doing now is we're gonna install that and then build around it rather than build the vault and then get in there and go, you know, we're X number of feet too long. And we can do that just as easy building that around the PRV as we can building it beforehand. So we can actually get that PRV online. And just adjust it as when the tank comes online.
As it goes now, when we pump water, and the only way I know the line's full is when that hot water heater goes off. Pressure relief, see that hose can handle the side there.
Well, I'd just like to have it in place so the day we're done with the tank and ready to start filling up, we aren't band-aiding around that anymore.
When's the next time we don't have many people here?
Yeah, it's going to be a couple weeks. Like the third week.
Yeah, there's a week in there.
The third week, there's not too many people here.
Okay. So that's what we need. What we need is we actually need just a window of opportunity when there's nobody here.
I can tell you when, but I can't get online
right.
For some reason.
Okay, Linda, can you look at that and suggest some times that would work?
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you need?
Well, if we actually build the manifold ahead of time, which is what our plan is, put it all together, take it up there, cut, install.
Well,
you know,
I think the big thing is dig back, like we were talking.
Well,
about.
We got to dig it back, but the digging, we don't have to shut everything off. We can just dig. But the other issue is that we can build the manifold ahead of time, take it up there. I mean, we should only be offline at, 2 or 3 hours if everything went okay. But nothing ever goes okay. So what we want to hope for is we want to just have a day that we can do it, you know. Yeah, so.
Sounds good. Okay, anything else in regards to culinary water issues that we need to talk about, Paul? Our tests are going okay.
Those are good.
Your relationship with the Water Conservancy for the tests are doing fine.
I actually personally took my test in. Mark Fisher has changed his testing schedule. What he does is he FedExes it to Salt Lake City. So he's kind of gone a different route. I don't know why.
It's cheaper.
I have a question on that.
I find out where he's doing it. I know they figured some way to do it, that it was a little cheaper the way he's doing it.
Now, of course, they do a lot more tests than we do, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
But they'll still put ours in when they send them. coordinate with them.
What was your, did you ever get the bill?
Rural Water Association. We should only have one membership, right?
Yep.
That's right.
For the association.
And it's paid up, but I have a bill for two. I have a season bill, so I'll call them and make sure that they understand.
Are they still carrying the carpet?
No, we were never part of the Rural Water when Barbara was there.
Okay, culinary water, once, twice, three times.
I need a drink.
Okay, agriculture. Fencing, Paul, appreciate all the fence work you've been doing around the BLM. Even when I drove through today, I noticed that the fence looks nice by the cattle guard there. And as far as I know, we never had a single cow in or out of that fence this year, right?
That's right.
Which is the first time in
a very long time.
Many years. So something's working there, huh? Meadow Canyon fence you were still working on, the meadow, upper meadow fence.
Yeah.
I understand it's in not good repair.
It is a mess. There might be a question of replacing some of it.
Yeah. When in doubt, make that decision and move forward. Right.
I think I like those $3 fence posts.
I went down and bought a bunch of them.
Did you? That whole west side up in the trees is just a mess.
They also have used wire that's wound up pretty good. That's pretty good for $40 a roll.
How many feet is it?
Full length, quarter mile.
Really? Oh, wow. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
$40? I think that's maybe $35 for the new one.
$70 is cheapest I've seen. I just got quotes from Taylor Button.
Oh.
Taylor's really good to get new materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you, we've got money in the budget for that. Don't hesitate.
Okay.
If we can fix a fence so it works for one season or fix it so it can work for five seasons,
let's fix it
longer term. So in the meantime, I think cattle are doing fairly well because there's lots of good feed, but obviously those fences will be getting pushed.
Yeah.
So please continue working on that. Cattle guards, we're still working on our first cattle guard, right?
I'm waiting on to make a decision on what size.
What? The width,
there was a question of should we do a 16, a 2/8, a 12, where to put it on the on Meadow Canyon or that road going up to the ponds or up to the cabins?
Well, the pond going up to the cabins, I think, is the first priority because you can't finish the fence until that's in. So I would work on that.
Okay.
And a 12-foot there would be adequate.
Okay. Yeah, for that.
Yeah. I think any of the big Meadow Canyon roads and stuff, 2/8, would be a lot easier to deal with than anything else.
Okay.
How long are those?
8 feet. Cut them all 8 feet.
So, you know, 8 foot's good. I'd weld them up and get them going.
Okay.
I did get on the internet. It looks like August 13th through the 27th. You don't have anybody in the cabins down here right now.
That's too late, though.
Oh, we had issue on those things. We had somebody that had made a reservation online, and then when they got online, and then when they...
Yeah, I talked to your daughter.
Amy
about it, yeah.
Some of the issue on the cattle guard is the round tubing. We were looking at pricing some square tubing. Would that fall into a fencing category or a road category if I were to go and purchase the square tubing?
Road category.
I'm going to get up to 2 and 3.
Which would probably be all right.
Do we have enough rampite to make it work?
It's just a matter of welding round pipes on a flat surface that I kind of worry about with the amount of traffic.
Did you ever find the Joseph Wood shim?
I called and called and called, and I don't, other than going and going through his garage, that's closed, you know.
Well, I think the
round pipe's
still okay from
that fish pond. Yeah, that one I wouldn't be all that worried about. I think on the main thoroughfare, you know, Meadow Canyon, where up to the cabins, we're not going to have that much heavy truck traffic going up there. But Meadow Canyon, I don't know, you know, without those, you know, when Joe Jose designed that whole thing, he, you know, cut all these wedges. He, you know, I mean, we got a lot of material for him from him, including the really expensive welding rod. And he cut those wedges so they, you know, the pipe would go right up against it on one side and then right up against it on the other side. And, you know, so it's all welded up tight and wouldn't roll by any means or anything. And I think that we can just weld that round pipe up for the upper cabins, because we don't have that much heavy truck traffic, but I don't know about Meadow Canyon.
So I'd use a round bike to get out there without going to first priority.
There is two cabins rented this week. Just two so far, 9 and the garden cabin, if you want to.
This week?
This week, if you want to put in. Down here.
This week?
Yes, down here. That's what I saw on the calendar.
And that's the lightest use.
We just had some people in cabin 7 that showed up from Florida yesterday.
Yeah.
6 is open. Okay. I'm busy on Friday burping refrigerators and putting new mantles on.
Friday's the worst day to try to do anything here. Simply because when you've got people showing up, it's like
you don't know when and where.
Well, you don't know when they're gonna show up, and then the other part of it is that inevitably there's a problem, you know.
Well, we're probably not gonna get any better than we are. And I think you can tell them, even talk to them and say, hey, we're planning next Wednesday or whatever to change this. We'd encourage, is there a time you guys think you'll be out and about and not really needing a lot of water? Or can you store, fill up, you know, some bottles or whatever, because we're going to have to shut it off for, you know, 2 to 6 hours. Just kind of do your best to make it work.
I think we can figure something out. Hey, back to fencing real quick. The electric fence is up, and I did do a quite a large section of fence, of electric fence, where it was planted down on the southwestern side of the meadow.
Good.
Walk through. You can see.
South?
Yeah, you can see. Yeah.
Now we put Jeremy and laid him over the fence. Held him there till he cried.
But just so you know, it's quite a large section, but it's not everything that was seeded, only because the seed didn't take. Walked up there with Austin Johnson and Doug Hunt, yeah. And, you know, some stuff took, but it's mainly dandelions and
wildflowers.
And I don't think the cows would be sitting in that one spot when they have all that other feed to graze on.
I agree. We're going to have to broadcast something again there.
So it's coming up good, and I think, you know, in a couple of years it'll all come back really nice. And there is kind of an issue of where I fenced. There's still some oak. Not oak, but
willows.
Willows that those cows are, you know,
take care
of. And then some of that wild rose bush stuff. So I was kind of, I was kind of concerned of where I was fencing just because of the willows and the rose bushes. But
rose?
I don't know what it's called. It's kind of a
wild
noxious kind of deal.
big.
Okay. Good shot. There was a toll apparently hit on Johnson in Johnson Canyon 2 nights ago. Anybody know whose it was?
Yeah. Well, I don't know whose it was, but I know who hit it.
Probably Bunting.
Nobody can seem to figure it out. It's gone today when I came up through.
Okay. Back with Lacey.
Irrigation, the only thing really that I want to mention is we've still got head gates that are probably not very stabilized, right? And that we need to work on, and I'm a little confused if who's going to work on them or if that's something we just need to operate and tell Larry to finish.
Didn't we say that at the last meeting, Larry was going to finish those?
That's why the last meeting we didn't have.
Yeah, it's
the
meeting.
Well, the one before that one, I missed most of it anyway.
The question I have is...
I think that's what we need to tell Larry. Do whatever it takes to get them finished so that they're not going to get frozen out, flooded out.
Washed out.
Washed out.
We had obviously a banner year for snowfall.
Yeah.
How much water was tanked? Stored.
Well, I think we collected a lot of water, it didn't hold.
Yeah, that was our problem. We collected a lot of water, and then we ended up losing a whole lot. But if you came out here, losing it through the head gates and around the head gates,
because
they're not,
not absorbing.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of it absorbed.
Well, a lot of it went to ground, but we lost a good portion of it that way. But if you saw the hidden reservoir when it was full, it has the hidden reservoir when it's full has the volume of all three of the other ponds combined.
I know. Was
it full this year?
It was.
Oh,
it was beautiful. It was great. It was huge. It was just. I just kept thinking to myself, nobody knows about this. This is my swimming hole. It's cold.
We're setting up cameras now.
Yeah, but yeah. Obviously, New Disney doesn't offend you.
The way it was meant to be, right?
Okay, so can we put an action for Larry?
Just so you know, which one?
Head gates. We gotta finish Half Moon head gate. The hidden reservoir head gate. And the red reservoir head gate. I don't know if that one's done or not. I know that.
Red reservoir. No.
Okay.
I did take the stem pipe up there, the 4-inch stem pipe up there, and set them there. And I just thought of another idea for Half Moon. Remember those basketball hoops?
Yeah, right.
There's that 4-inch pipe there. It's not big, thick steel pipe.
No, it's not. It's heavy walled.
No, not aluminum, but it's.
No, it's not aluminum. It's steel, but it's not Schedule 40.
Okay, so we'll just tell Larry to get it done. Right?
Works for me.
Okay, number 9, Shauna Cox.
Well, anyway, they should have the have drive, but we are going to have another one in October. Well, because he didn't come on the day we landed. And so he didn't show us enough time.
I think the big issue was just communication. The plan was to bring him on the 12th, but he wanted to bring him in earlier. And so they got permission from Dirk and the BLM to bring him in.
And that was okay, except for we didn't get the message out to everybody soon enough because we didn't get the message soon enough to alert everyone.
Well, we still moved him from the lower to the upper, too, and did get communication out on that, I think. And I don't know that we're going to see much happen until we get some traditions, some pictures, videos or something of what's happening.
Our first annual was not going to be much.
We had a good cattle drive both days, bringing them from over there up to the meadow, and I didn't do the one from, or not to the meadow, but out east, Deer Springs Point,
right.
And then Deer Springs Point up to the meadow. They were both pretty good turnouts.
Okay.
Can I add to the 4th of July celebration
yes,
here?
Yes, please, because...
It was the 3rd annual 4th of July celebration here, and kind of started a new tradition with games, but we did kind of a little flag ceremony, too, first thing that morning. And I have pictures of the games and the flag ceremony that we're going to put on the... On the we'll put on the newsletter. Yeah, that's
right. Is this going to be the annual?
But it was a good time. We didn't really have a whole lot of members come out. So I don't know if it was a planning thing. I don't know. It's on the website.
The problem, the conflict with that is that the local people are in for the parade.
I had a ton of people from town out here. I'm talking about members of the ranch.
Oh, coming to right. From somewhere else.
Yeah, a ton of people are local?
Town of local
people. How they find about it?
See?
They talk it up around town.
So, Paul, what about, the cabins were full that week.
Cabins were full.
But they still were doing their own thing rather than coming down and participating.
Right.
So do we need flyers or something?
A lot of people in the cabins came down.
Okay.
But it wasn't, we had the hunt reunion here.
Yeah.
And so there was 70 of those people. And then there was quite a bit of other people from the upper cabins that came down.
I think in general...
That's probably what you're going
to
hear.
Getting the people that are here to participate is probably about as good as it's going to get,
Right.
Somebody's not going to drive from California to come here not staying in a cabin.
Mm-hmm. Right. If I didn't have to drive over that speed and if I lived in Canavan and didn't, thought, hey, I can go out and see those guys on the 4th of July. No way.
But it was a good 3rd annual.
Good.
And
you got some pictures of that?
I did.
So, write that part of the newsletter.
Okay.
Is Nancy here?
No.
Can you tell her all these things?
Yeah. She's busy getting the cabins ready. Friday's just a rough day for us.
Okay, next.
And now we have the Ranch Olympics on August the 12th. I should have bought flyers, so I'll get flyers out.
Great.
When the newsletter goes out, we need to put them in the newsletter. When are you sending out the newsletter?
Should
be this next week.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll get that done.
Annual board meeting, September 11th, is that... still a date everybody's committed to?
Yeah,
works for me.
Okay.
Now, are we doing the tour of the ranch that day for sure still?
In
the board meeting?
I would say we should ask that question next month.
Okay.
Wow.
Quite a few people there.
Yeah, that's official.
New flagpole donated by Kenley.
Ken?
Thank you.
That is a very admirable looking flagpole.
It's in a better spot than the other one, too.
Yeah, hopefully it won't get back over.
Yeah.
Did you notice it right when you first came in?
I did.
Right there in your face.
It would be nice if the Rams could budget a new flag every year. They take a beating up there.
Yeah.
So, I guess this actual B is part of the Ranch Olympics, or maybe not. It's B. Got the GPS thing going, right?
We got the GPS. I haven't had time to go set up any caches yet, but all it takes is a day or two.
I need to meet up with you and do that with you. So call me when you decide what day works out.
Desert Fox's motorcycle guys want to come out this week. They should be calling you, Paul. And
This week?
This week. For start looking at where they want the course to be. Okay?
Now, that's a good question. So this is a good week for me to be around if they're going to still do that interface along the one side of the ranch.
but I've been working hard to keep that trail open for them.
Yeah.
If that, mm-hmm. if that's what they wanted, if that's the same way they want to go.
He said that somebody had talked to him about they'd like to do a little additional length compared to what they did last time. I said, I don't know if you go up there and visit with Paul.
Okay. All right. Well, just, if they want to do that, we'll just have to walk through there with the chainsaw and clean up a couple of minor things. But other than that, I've kept that pretty well open.
One thing that I would say we should look at with these guys as a side benefit is they're going to mark a trail, and by the end of the day, there will be a trail. And we want the trail to be a trail that is of our benefit when it's done. And so I think to the degree we can say, well, we would choose to have a future trail here, or, you know, then that's what we need to try to do.
Walk through the whole thing with them?
Or at least on a map with them.
Right.
You know.
Well, that one trail is my ATV escape trip. Just in case one of you guys turned around for the most wanted.
Now I know where he's going.
Okay.
Well, with him coming out this week and sitting in the PRV valve this week, do we want to figure a date on calling him and telling him this would be the day to come? And this would be the day to do the PRV valve?
Well, we're going to schedule the PRV valve.
Yeah. They'll come this week, next week, whatever. Yeah. They'll call you. They'll talk to you.
I'd like to say
yeah. Oh, this day's not going to be good. Come the next.
I'd like to say we can do that PRV this week, but I don't know.
The PRV has precedence over
yeah.
not doing something in case these guys show up. So,
along those lines with the Desert Fox people, I talked with Terry Houston about cabin time during the races, are in August, October.
They rented four cabins, I think.
Terry Houston did?
Yes.
Well, now my thought...
Somebody from the races did. I don't know what...
My thought is to work something out with Terry to try and knock some dollars off of that final price of the tank. Picking up the tank. When he was here, I told him, you know, we'd give you cabin time, we had trades, you know, some cabin time for work. So that's kind of what I'm working out. And if that's him in October, then maybe we can save some money.
Is it October that the race is up?
They come in the summer. They come before.
Last time I did the race, it was in August.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it's in the summer. I don't know. October, you might be.
No. I take that back. No, it was. It was sometime in September, late September.
It's on General Conference weekend, whenever that is, yeah. And all that.
October. Okay.
Okay, shooting range, anybody have any updates?
I want to change something on there. I thought if I put the bales of hay up alongside, that might not be a good idea. You're going to draw the deer and the animals over there. I think maybe we should just take our backhoe and make hills on the shooting range, make berms.
On the BLM?
This was something, the straw was something that we could throw out there.
And it won't bother them, but if we move the dirt, we're in trouble.
They won't eat the straw.
Yeah.
Anytime
you move dirt on the BLM, it's a big deal.
I think the straw bales is a good idea.
Okay, we'll stay at the bales.
But why do we need straw bales at all?
Because between the two division things, sometimes it's easier if you got one person, if you got kids out there and they're shooting and they have a section, we don't end up with... not always supervised.
Yeah, but you're going to have a whole lot of straw bales before it's going to stop bullets from going astray. I don't know that we're trying to do that, are we? That's what
yeah.
I thought.
Well, would it be possible maybe to take a couple posts up there?
This is what I talked to my insurance agent just out of curiosity because I have been an advocate for having it closer to farther away. He said if you ever had an incident, if we had whether a designated shooting range or shooting on the ranch, the policy would be canceled. it would be two or three times what we're paying right now would be the annual cost of it. And so I'm now a firm believer in having it somewhere else. And so it's not the shooting range.
Mm.
We should designate
a place that isn't.
DSR or any of the employees shouldn't go up there and do it. And my thinking was the bales was also a place to put the target, but also it'd be great if there was a distance marked out, and it could be a pile of rocks, or it could be a tea stake or something,
yeah.
And it just appeared there.
I could drop this bales of hay out there. It wouldn't bother me.
I would like it if it was measured. And there's enough space out there that if there's two different groups, we can shoot in different directions and not actually have something physically dividing us. And
yeah.
Kids are out there shooting unsupervised. Somebody should be in the
show. No, that's true.
So,
I like the idea of two directions because you always have somebody running up on specific targets.
Yeah.
And somebody else would be wanting to shoot.
But there's
right.
Afterwards, let's go out there and take a look.
That sounds good. Okay. Next, item 10.
Yeah, these issues, the work on Quarter Horse Road, I think that was done, yeah.
Do we have the sign?
No, we don't have a sign tonight.
You said we were going to put a sign.
I did, and what I asked for, I think two meetings ago, I asked for the guy who makes our sign, for a phone number.
He comes, but there's a fellow in Fredonia I found out last week that will make, they can make signs for
us. You better, before we talk about this, and Alan never spoke about it, Kane County is going to require us, once the Alton grid is up for their road sign, we are going to have official road signs. Metal poles, metal signs, certain height.
Even though we're private.
Even though we're private.
I don't think so. I highly challenge that.
Well, I'm just telling you
that I can understand Alton.
They are what they're saying.
Right.
What they're saying is that in order to be part, you know, if we want to get all of our plan together, they want us to be able to easily identify.
Are we going to find there?
No. But anyway, they're saying that they want us to comply with the county standards to do this. Now, the way we put up our signs, and they're fine, is that, for example, when this winter, now not the people come out here in the winter, but guess what? Johnny Brown Parkway sign?
Gone.
Couldn't see it.
Under the snow.
It was under the snow. Okay. That's one of the things that's one of the issues that they're talking about from an emergency management point of view. Here you have Alan, who's a deputy sheriff, and he's been with Kane County for several years. This is only his second visit to Deer Springs. They have designated deputies who do come out here, but if we ever have a major incident where they need to send people out, I can tell you from a professional perspective that when I used to, people used to try to put on their houses these fancy signs, you know, rather than the numbers, they would put, you know, say, you know, 4506 South, Jones Court. Okay, but they'd write it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know how hard that is to see?
Or the location.
And at night when you're in a hurry going somewhere, and when you take people who are used to identifying, who are not familiar with the area and are used to identifying the route based upon being able to find the sign in a recommended location at a recommended height, you know, they're used to looking at it from that perspective. Okay. Whether we won't necessarily have to comply with that, but what we're going to have to do is when we put these signs up, we're going to have to raise them to a certain point, okay? And it's like the individual lot signs. You know, they have to be in a specific, you know, they have to be clearly identifiable when it comes up to the individual lot.
like on the northeast corner.
Some, yeah, there. Yeah, it has to be in pretty much the same spot for everybody.
That's
you know,
what
so they know where to look when they come. You know, okay, I don't have to look all. You know, boy, you know, well, this guy put his up 20 feet in the tree, or this guy put his up 2 feet off the ground. You know, those are things that you can't see. So one of the things that we need to think about as far as with the sign stuff, the signage thing, is when we put these signs up, we need to start thinking about coming close to complying with the county standards in doing it, as far as height, as far as location, and those kind of things. And like I say, we can put these signs up and they'll look great, but, and not the people out here in the winter, but what if somebody had to come out here in the winter, and they didn't, you know, and they didn't know.
So do we,
the signs we're talking about are private road signs, not the actual names of the streets.
Right, dead end road.
Yeah.
Right, but even then, they want to know, because the sheriff is going to be required to do the evacuation out here if we have a fire evacuation. Now, they want to know, they want to be sure of the road they're on. They want to know if they can, if it's an up and out, if it's an up and back, or if they've got to go up, or if they can go up and evacuate and then continue to go beyond.
A dead end, yeah.
Or, okay. So any of these signs that we can put in are valuable, but we need to try to comply as close as we can to the county standard. Just simply, you know, to make it easier on them. Exactly.
After what's the cost on?
Well, we don't necessarily, you know, what we have to do is we have to decide, you know, like, for example, if you go up Broad Hollow, you're going to, because the McElroys got tired of people ending up at their place, because they spent all that money to put gravel up there,
yeah.
Then they had people just drive up there, just continue to drive up there. Well, they have a sign up there that says, you know, Slide Canyon is just an arrow. Okay, and then I can't remember what they have not true streets as another sign that they have. And what we need to do is if we're going to do those kind of signs, then we need to do them in a regulation size and location. And so they know to look, you know, okay, this is not a true street. And I know that there's a big issue that people don't want to have signs out here. And there's been issues made about people putting up dead-end signs, you know, dead-end road signs and stuff.
Well, let's just decide, as we put in their signs, the standards are good, and you just call up Star Sign in St. George and tell them what you want, Rainbow, both of them, Rainbow's a little bit more expensive in my experience.
Sorry, I didn't even know that. Sorry.
And so they all have standard approved, you know, signages. But, you know, their metal breakaway posts, their reflective, you know, metal signs.
Right. If I want to use it in those signs.
Well, I think we need to decide. Are we going to...
Well, let's see how much they cost and then go from there.
They're no more expensive than the ones you're going to get the guy in for
donating. So are we going to change our signs?
No, we're just saying, as we put up a new sign, should we put one up that is highway traffic compatible or not? It isn't going to cost much. It's just that, you know, you get out here and you kind of say... It's out of place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we had 50 of them, they would look less out of place, maybe.
They'd look more commercial.
Put one dead-end road sign on the scooter block.
Dead like that.
So, what do we want to do? Do we want to try to have that style of sign, or do we want to try to do something that's hybrid, where we maybe put them on taller posts?
The ones they routed in the wood and paint on the inside, like the Forest Service used to do, that we have a few of them here, I think they look good, just because they are, they meet what our theme is.
They need
two
posts, really.
And they do need two posts, and they need to be up a little higher, maybe.
To get them up higher, that's going to
going to be an issue probably.
And what's longevity on the wood out here?
Oh, that's the
5 years out of them, 6 years.
Well, on this wood, that
MDF.
They last forever.
Yeah, it's made out of MDF, I think.
Not MDF, MDX.
Oh, MDX, okay.
Exterior MDX.
I think it's good, and we should leave them that way, but we, like you said, need to put two posts.
You want me to grab one? I can bring one out.
Yeah, bring one out.
We have to replace.
I think, you know, if what Frank said is true, that we're going to be required by.
We're not going to be required, I guarantee it.
Okay.
If we put them up high enough,
we may be
incredible.
Mm-hmm. Encouraged.
They
may, in worst case scenario, say, well, if you don't do it, then we're not going to help you with something you want us to help you with. But I guarantee you, on a private road, there's no way that they can make us do that. So,
maybe we'll just try and follow the standards of height and visibility.
But, you know, there are things that we could do to be certainly much more compliant to the heart or the I guess the intent of what they would be doing.
I don't know what these guys charge.
The big deal is reflective signs or not, you know.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that, Brian?
Actually, the white lettering on that brown is almost reflective.
Well, I like the white lettering on the brown. Okay. I find, I'm very much like Shauna, I find the reflective sign to be obtrusive, you know, in the sense that it's an in-your-face kind of thing. Now,
it makes for a better target.
That's exactly right. It does make for a better target. In fact, if you can go in any rural area and don't show me a reflective cattle sign that's not been shot, I'm afraid you're living in Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
They're all, and I think that encourages. I really honestly think that the standard sign actually encourages vandalism. Okay, I honestly believe it. I think from our perspective, if we want to be more compliant and more user friendly for them, is what we endeavor to do is put our signs up
higher.
Come up with a standard, okay, so we don't have not true street,
Our standard should be like 6.5 feet.
Right.
The bottom of
the sign. What I mean is, like, we should say, rather than go not true street, we should go, dead end. Or, whatever you guys decide. I don't care.
We spent about an hour deciding that last time.
Right. I just think we need to do, is just have it standardized so it's not just the individual goes in there and says, I'm going to put up a fluorescent, flashing, solar-powered sign that says, don't come this way,
Has everybody seen the sign that I put up, the Quarter Horse Lane sign?
Yeah.
That looks good to me.
I think, bigger, the thing is, you
not
do bigger posts,
quite
get it,
tall enough.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe having bigger signs to make it look a little better rather than two huge posts and a little tiny sign that says Quarter Horse Lane.
I don't think we want to buy new signs. We have a whole stock of signs that need
right.
to be put out.
Yeah. People don't realize how much signs cost.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. To make them like these out here, you would pay 50 or 60 bucks a piece for them.
Yeah.
If you want to use the metal stamp ones, you're still going to pay 50 to 60.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
So we're talking about several $1,000.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to use what we have.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the standard.
Let me see if I can throw this out. Everybody's okay with it. Number one, we're only talking about putting up signs that are not put up. We're not talking about personal signs. And we have decided that we're going to go with the wood, carved in letters, painted white, the wood material, whatever it is, MDX. And we should do a better job. I think our only fault right now is that we're not putting them tall enough.
And you want to adopt the 6.5 to the bottom, 6.5 feet to the bottom.
I think that would be a reasonable height.
Yes, and you put them on 8 foot posts, though. I'm still thinking 2.5 feet in the ground.
Okay, so 6.5 foot. That's the minimum wood for any sign, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty tall. That's higher than my head.
Six.
I know, but you go walk around any street signs, stop signs and stuff, you get out of your car there.
Yeah, and most signs you're going to approach.
They're above the cars.
They're up.
And the other thing that we need to endeavor and make an effort to do, and that is we need to also make sure that we trim around signs. Okay, and
that's all.
Yeah, that
does. So then we're going to go back to the Grand Fredonia.
Yeah.
Yes, because we don't have dead-end signs on the...
Right.
Okay.
And I'll find out.
And you'll get
them.
Okay. I'm saying we're done discussing this issue.
Okay, you guys do know that Ordwani moved his gate.
Right.
Okay, the gate is moved. I talked to him the other day. He says he's got a major concern about the liability for the ranch because that road goes beyond his place. It's washed out really bad. And so basically he's put up a little sign, you know, out there to keep people from going up there.
Right.
So.
Super. And we sent the letter off to the next person.
Well, I have not heard anything back from them.
I thought they came back. We got a price for a culvert and stuff, and we sent it. I thought they emailed or sent back and just said, thanks, we really appreciate you making us aware of this or something. They did respond back.
They did, and they said that they weren't able at this point to do anything.
Yeah, but they would kind of know. Yeah. So I think we've done it all on that.
But with all the letters that were sent, is it possible to maybe send a letter of thanks for moving the gates?
Sure. Linda, can you send a letter saying thanks for moving the gate?
I will do that.
Okay.
Barn structure? What are we going to do about the barn structure? I mean, because it's been brought out in the open, we at least need to talk about it.
Yeah. Talk to us about the barn structure, Paul.
Been recently re-roofed. And resided. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yep.
The side facing west has been redone. But there was an issue. I think it's been that way for a long time with one of the posts holding the main beam across the east side.
Tenants pulled out.
Yeah. And it's just completely off of the main post.
They sent us an email that had like, here's four things that need to be done.
Yeah.
Bearing supported by posts.
Right.
So if the roof pushes out any farther, it's going to push that beam right off the post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've been that like that way for 100 years. Like, all it takes is
wind
or snow load and
freak storm. Yeah. Just take it over.
Boards, vertical boards on the south side are 1.5. I think the extra weight we put on the roof may have pushed it.
It's been bowed like that for a long time.
It's old.
I've seen pictures 10 years ago of it.
I don't remember seeing that.
Brent has been working on some lumber, some decent size, and possibly using the forklift to lift up and maybe dig a hole, put a sonotube down, fill with concrete so it's not wood to dirt.
Yeah, when we fix this thing, we need to fix it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I don't want to put a nice column in there and put it back on wood. You know, I think that if we're going to do it, let's dig it out. Ken and I talked this at some length. You know, put a sonotube, big 18-inch sonotube in there at least. You know, concrete, you know, bracket to hold it up off the ground or off the...
So we use more centennial. I think we could probably do metal strapping to that. I mean, I would say that's a lot of heartache.
Yeah. I totally agree that we can.
Some cables. Then you recommend that we
and we be careful because if we do ground up, we spend 10 or more years talking about, and that's how long it takes to get a roof on it. So, and I'm not opposed to doing it right. I'm simply saying you've got a cable on the north end holding the upper beams together. You got a cable in the middle, and we need a cable on the south end at least to pull that together.
Pull together.
Start it. Yeah. And I agree, we need to do it right with the.
But we ought to do that versus pronto.
Yeah, the cable.
And in top of should keep everybody out of there.
Have you got the cable?
A couple turnbuckles and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have thousands of feet.
In fact, there's still cable up there, but I have thousands of feet of cable at my house.
Yeah.
So, Linda, let's structure the actions item on this. So, barn repair, you know, first priority is put a cable on the south end.
From east to west. Suck it as west. Just so it doesn't expand anymore. Yeah.
What is those are technically referred to as spreaders. It keeps everything from spreading. Okay. So.
you're here. Your children are here. They might be in that barn and stuff. What's
in there every day?
What risk is there?
I don't think there's any.
I think you're wrong,
but I have to. I mean, I
think you're totally wrong.
I think with the wind and with the snow that we've had, it's been windy.
Yeah.
At any moment, it could come down. I think with the hay on the one side, where I'm at, where the hay is,
yeah.
I think, you know, the kids are, you know.
Do the kids have to be in it? Do your children have to be in it?
Well, he's got animals in there, right?
No, there's no way. There's only hay in there now.
Unless there was a freak wind or a lot
of... They should be in there when it is windy.
It didn't move a lot any more than it's in this house. We were up there, four of us up there, moving around. So it's very solid. So it's not
going to
fall.
And we've had some big windstorms.
All it takes is that one freak windstorm.
Yeah.
Or
just
it. We had a windmill fall over that had been in
forever.
So
I would like to see your kids not go in there, see if that's possible.
I'm going to keep my hay.
Yeah, they have to get the hay.
And it's not on that south side. The hay's on the one side.
Okay, well, I mean, that's
sufficient.
I'm going to be firm on it.
My whole thing on this thing is you err on the side of safety. If we don't do anything to that barn and it lasts 100 years, woohoo. Okay? I'm all great with that. But I personally will not go on record and say I think it's safe. I will tell you flat out, I think it's dangerous. I think that we ought to put some effort into making sure that it's done right. You know, we do it and we fix it. And I definitely will not say I told you so when it does come down. But I think it's a dangerous building. I think we make an effort to save it and fix it.
We had a budget for $5,000.
Yeah. Well,
don't hold back.
Hey, we had a budget for $5,000.
Okay, let's back up here. Okay, let's get the plan down. Okay, step number one is we're going to do the cable, right?
Now, is that the only place we need the cable? Is that one end there?
I thought. Isn't there a bottom coming out somewhere?
There's a bottom coming out behind the hay. Somewhere in the path, that wall was pushed west.
Right.
Like 12 inches, so it needs to be pulled east.
East, okay.
And that wall is flush. That's not a structural problem. That is another issue. But it would be, I think it would be a good idea to brace it north and south also.
Okay.
Down into the middle. Way up at the apex of the roof.
And then pull it down to the center.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking three cables, right?
Yeah.
Turn buckles.
Okay.
Do you want to do an extra bracing on the top side, or is it just straight across?
That would be better. But we're not even really bracing down low. We're just bracing up.
Right.
Where the rafters rest on those.
And then if we can suck that one, we can suck that north side bottom back in.
Yep.
So the column is there. Yeah.
So that's item two.
Brace it north and south from apex of the roof to horizontal support. Did I get that right?
To the center, I would say from the apex down to the center middle of the barn. There's already a cable there.
Okay. So.
And who's doing that?
Once that's done, then how do you build that?
Once that's done, we can evaluate it. Then I think we go in and carefully. The buttons have some big.
Step number two.
The buttons have some big trees that I can that they're cut that they've already cut. They're 25 foot plus lengths.
They are
pine.
They are pine, and I would consider them to be structural, you know, grade in the sense that they're not deteriorated. We can put them on the sawmill, cut them, you know, square them up, make them the size that we need, probably somewhere about 12 by 12. And then, you know, I would feel 100% better about that whole structure by simply replacing the south or east column, where it's just hanging on by, yeah.
Let's just say replace the southeast column.
And if and we replace that southeast column and get it squared away and right so it's not settling anymore.
Yeah.
I think at that point in time, I think with the other things, the cabling back and forth and into the center, I think we're in good shape, and then plus suck that. No, right. So it's tight.
Look at that one corner.
That's step number four is suck the 10 inches.
You look at that one corner, the south east corner that you want to replace. I think building that up too with maybe some material, some dirt. Build that up so it's not such a.
Yeah,
you know, the snow comes off and it just kind of
all around there. Yeah.
They know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we could build that up because we
have another evaluation as we get these done. But I would say we need to do these things, and I think in the meantime, our advice to you, Paul, is to keep your kids out of it until we
get
the cables and get a little bit of a thing. It's kind of your decision, but that's our advice. Okay. We love your kids more than
you. Yeah.
You can run fat, we hope.
Well, the bad thing is I bought half-ton bales. So,
hold on.
How are you going to get them out of it?
Motor broke.
Yeah, right. That's pretty tough.
Okay, next item. Ranch manager's report. Bed frames and box springs and all of that stuff.
Purchased and installed.
Great. Yay. Okay. Fencing plans we've kind of covered, right? Ranch house, fall roof, and fall project. Bunk house and cow palace. Okay. So, Dave Turley, I think, have you looked at this and given us some recommendation here and over there?
No. I've looked at it, but I haven't done it.
Can we take a little tour here or discuss that at the end of the meeting?
We're working on the ranch house. We look at insulation, especially the north wall and maybe the ceiling. So they don't have to, I mean, they have to keep a huge fire going on.
Can we insulate?
Yeah. There's some Z-mail we could put in with some Armax and then just kind of reframe the inside wall.
You have to lose a little square footage.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but will that insulate in between the line, or will that just remove the heat side from the line? We need insulation in between the line and the outside.
Well, see, we're probably going to have a mold problem in that wall because we had that bad roof leak when we had the ice dam build up, and Dave can tell you better, but we had a lot of water running down the wall, a tremendous amount. And we're thinking that the probability is that if we're going to pull the roof off anyway, and I don't think we can get away with putting another layer of roof on that thing because there's already six. I mean, everything's got to come off. It's, you know, it's the slats. I think we can get in there. I'm sure we're going to have to replace some of the boards. I don't, on something like that, do you re-roof using the same, I mean, the subsurface material is using with, like, OSB or something? See, if we're going to rip this stuff on anyway, we're going to have an exposed area. You can put bad insulation in the ceiling. Okay, but the wall, I think we're going to have to pull the lath and plaster off the inside to check for mold. Because we had a lot of water running down there.
And I honestly,
that's where it's freezing.
Yeah, yep. I personally think over the years.
So there's probably insulation that got soaked in there.
Right.
There's no insulation in the house at all.
That might be a
so there's nothing there.
Yeah, so. So
what about these guys?
The only thing that will mold would be the wood, if ever.
If we don't have a mold problem, that would be the way to do it.
And they shoot in the insulation in between every...
Every joist. Whatever
stud.
Yeah, stud.
If I still work on mold, of the thousands of, or thousand roofs that I've seen, or mold issues that I've seen, or leak issues, I've only run into a handful of mold issues. When there's mold. And usually there is. It just got wet, it dried out, there's no mold.
Most of the time
most
it doesn't.
Time there's no mold.
Right.
So, but if there's a continual leak, or I don't know exactly what the circumstances are, but in rare cases, there's a lot of mold. It's glue that disconnected somewhere in the attic, and you've got heat coming up from the water heater or the furnace or something.
A continual
side. In the attic.
Right.
But not from the leak. The leak happens, it stops.
It dries out. Even batting does the same thing. It dries out. It's fiberglass. There isn't mold in it.
We need to maybe have some insulation guys come out and look at insulating the walls then, right?
Well, if we're going to be doing the, if we're going to be doing this thing, you know, the roof anyway, we ought to do the walls while we're at it.
Yeah. But I would rather have some insulation guys come out than have to reseat out the whole house.
That would be the easiest way. If they've experienced it, there's no molds,
go. The bath and plaster goes off, then the electrical's got to be redone. Then the windows while you're at it. Well, it never stops.
Yeah.
Once you start tearing the lath down,
it's just bad.
You might be required to go back to electrical code if you just tear the plaster off.
Yeah.
So you have an outlet every
time. Why can't you blow it on the inside?
Well, they can probably, I'm sure they can blow it in. Ordinarily, you're only required to come up to code if you're doing more than a 50% renovation.
Then get in the attic and they drill a hole down through each top plate and just...
And do it. But if we can
short, they got to drill a hole. Okay.
Let's see. Next is the decks on cabins 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Cabin 4.
All done.
Yeah. And on cabin 2, the I have a plan with a lot owners that Larry sends.
Right.
Come up in early August. I think, did he ever send you?
Is the cabin available then?
I don't know.
He can't be fixing cabin 4's deck with people in there. So the only way to get in is through the deck, or cabin 2,
Yeah. So we had a list of materials. Did you ever get that list?
The 13th, there is nobody on the ranch. We get the 13th through the 20th.
Okay. So we'll work something out with him on that.
Okay, so we need to reserve that off the schedule that week, cabin 2.
Well, let me get the week that he's going to come up.
Okay.
And then I'll get with you.
Okay. There's also, all the way through to the 27th.
Okay.
The 27th.
For cabin 2. Okay.
So take it off for now, but you'll get back to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
The tractor is back at the ranch, but it is not... working.
Is it just the front loader?
Just the front loader.
They're waiting for the parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
parts ordered.
Parts are ordered. Should be here anytime.
Okay.
Water system. We already discussed that.
Okay.
And then ranch fuel. I don't know why that's on there. Somebody else added that on there, but
Some talk about the leak or something on the tank and. I saw an email on it.
Oh, we had a leak on our...
The elevated tank.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no longer a problem.
Okay.
We do need to talk about...
I'll put it on there today when they come to you.
Oh.
Get her out.
Go. Hey, cops. Adam Stinkers, Nancy found them. They're bringing ranch up, or bringing fuel up, and this time they charged us $4.35 delivery fee for them all down. But anyway.
$4.35. Not per gallon, hopefully.
I can do it cheaper.
$4.
They'll be out in the fall.
$3 a gallon for fuel. And
how much is AmeriGas?
Well, this is
regular fuel.
This is the red fuel and the gas.
Issue was Jenkins was complaining about driving over the road. They charged us $400 because of a shock that broke or something. So I don't know.
Isn't that something that you eat?
I just put on
$1,000. No, yeah. If you agree to do it, you just eat the,
I think it's going to destroy half their equipment because they bring it up in trailers.
Just so the board knows, I have been running a generator sometimes three times a day to pump water. We have been going through a little bit of fuel. And there was also a question, the Johnsons were going to come up and work on their fields. They had a question of if they could buy some fuel from the ranch.
$7 a gallon.
I think that's
important for three.
I think if it's not inconvenient for you and you charge them enough that we're covering our costs and the delivery costs, that's fine.
Okay. All right.
If it results in an empty tank, then if you have problems with it.
And the truth of the matter is, I don't think you're using any more fuel than if you were just pumping. Because your gallons are gallons.
Right.
You know, you're using that. If you have to pump three times a day because you can't put it up there,
right.
It's no different than if you were pumping.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at my tank. I got 3/4 of a tank right now. I can maybe fall, have a half a tank, topping it off in the fall for the winter. I don't know.
Okay, Dave Turley.
All right.
Pavilions. I brought a copy of your handy drawing there for us to use. Tell us what we need to do.
That's what we're looking at. I don't know if that means anything to anybody or here, but the major question is we're going to do, I think, we're going to do one big one for starters.
Up at the fish ponds.
The fish ponds are already decided.
We only have enough materials to do one big one for starters.
We only got enough purlins to do one big one, and then we go for the first part of getting more purlins.
So we're going to get one in, and we're going to look at it and say, what a work of art.
Yep.
We should do six more.
Yep.
I think it's actually officially a work of Dave.
Someone like Larry needs to look at that and decide
I sent this to Larry.
Do we already have the purlins you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Larry said fine.
Okay.
We had some discussion back and forth. This is the side view. Originally, we were going to have a peek through. You know, because just from an aesthetic standpoint, but we thought if the tall side was opening up to the red cliffs, that might look good. We're going to see then from below all of this roof structure, but it's all the same color, right?
It is.
I hate seeing something that has four different kinds of leftover colors on it.
How white it's all.
So I think this is good. We do it. We open this up. We talked about the location being kind of about 20 feet
north of the road.
North of the road, or 40 feet north of the road. I think we just said let's put a little extra so that we can make a parking area there.
By the pond.
Mm-hmm. So.
You have a pond.
But I think what you're asking.
Yeah.
Is that somebody gets the holes put in. So that then you could come down and do the roof structure, is that
right?
Yes. And so we need to decide if we can maybe work with Larry and Brent to do, get the poles put in, sonotubes or whatever to have these 9 poles put in.
What do you got? Roughly 3... that are, you know, your elevation is 8 feet in the back and 12 feet in the front?
Right.
Yeah. And then we would weld these on site, right?
Right.
So we need a welder available. And do we have a welder?
We have one.
Portable welder?
Look up in the...
We have a welder.
But that's Joe Bose, and we need to talk to him about it.
Or we can cut holes with a torch and bolt everything together. All these purlins have brackets, and there's a whole bucket of bolts. So it could be a combination.
What's the snow loader? Have you calculated that?
I haven't calculated that.
Okay.
I talked to Larry about it, and he thought we could just...
Well, yeah, I trust both your guys' judgment. I guess the only other question I have is, yeah, that's not, the putting those in is not going to be a problem. The only other question I have is, do we need a permit?
Yes, you do.
Is it an overhead?
It is. Anything over 10 by 10 has to have a permit. And it will have to have a 60-pound roof load. But I think you're okay with it.
I think it's 200 square feet. I don't think it's 10 by 10.
It's 10 by 10.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they just, there's been three code changes since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, but the reason I'm asking about the permit is because I asked them one day, just in passing, hey, I want to put a roof between my two containers, and I says, if it's anything that you're working on overhead, you get a permit for. So it's going to be...
Can you obtain a permit?
I can do that.
Sometime, right? And we'll work with you and Larry to do that. Is that...
I can do that. I will go into Canaveral on Monday.
Hey, thanks, Brad. So, the idea, Dave, do you have a date that you kind of think would work in your schedule that we should try to have this done by?
I could work it... Before, after the monthly meeting, that would be
CT. So either this next month's meeting or the annual meeting?
Yep.
Well, now remember, the 12th is going to be our people should be here by that. That would be our
Thing. Yeah, but Dave isn't coming down for that.
Well, I know, but if he's here on the 11th, I'm just saying we might have some people that might...
Well, there's some things that having help is not that much help.
Is he in the way?
If they have wet cement, nothing that would
be. Yeah, if they can bring loads of concrete.
How are we going to deal with the concrete?
We have a portable mixer.
Yeah, mix it on
first. I honestly think for when you're doing posts, because you leave so little concrete. I mean, for that, I think we'd be better served to actually mix it on site.
Do we have a mixer?
I got a mixer. I don't have I can run off a generator. It's not a gas powered mixer, but I've mixed
small one too.
I've mixed hundreds of yards of concrete.
Would work off a small generator.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Small mortars.
So,
we're not going to do a concrete floor then.
Why not?
Until we can afford it. Well, the idea was to put the roof up and
pour it around it.
We can pour that later. I think the
smart thing. If we're gonna pour it now, we should pour it now with the sonotubes.
Right. Well, we could do it if we're gonna do it, we could do it all at once.
So I would say, if we think we're gonna do it, let's just do it now. The odds of us putting it under later are probably really
slim to none.
Concrete up here. Yeah, I was going to say, what about the funds? Is the funds for all this?
Well, let me look and see what...
Did you do a calculation on how much concrete you might need? Okay.
So maybe we can the concrete.
Calculate $5 a square foot.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're...
That would be a way higher price, so... That's paying somebody to come up and do it here. We can do it for $350 a foot here in Kanab, and I'm sure we could get somebody to do it for $5 up here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how many square feet is that?
Well, we've got, 10, 20, 15. Are we going to want, Dave, do we want concrete under...
610 square feet.
Do we want everything, up to the eave line, or where do you want...
Yeah, let's hold it back.
Let's hold it...
Yeah, so that we don't have, we're keeping most of the moisture off the concrete.
Okay, so what you want... So, basically, we really just want to run the concrete
maybe just outside.
Just outside the post.
A foot farther.
Okay. All right. So what did you calculate?
3,610 feet.
We're using what post?
About 20 by 28, right?
You guys are talking about 6-inch steel pipe.
Well casing.
Well casing. Something. Whatever the measurements are.
Can you find any 6-inch well casings?
I've looked and I haven't. But I would continue.
You're about $3,000.
So 22 by. How much did you
say? You got 20 by 28. So if you guys want 22,
yeah, so. Yeah, if you're doing roughly 22 wide.
You're 22 by 28. You've got 20 and you're going 30.
Okay.
You guys make up your mind on what you decide.
Yeah, 22.
So 660.
So 572 square feet.
Well, it depends on how wide you're making. Are you doing 28 by 20 or 22 by 30?
26 by 22.
You're going 26 by 22?
Yes.
Because I thought it had 28 on there.
It is, but we want it to be.
We want to be inside the drip point.
Okay. Anyway, you're close to
$2,860. So, budget-wise, we could probably do that and have, because we've got all the materials except the poles we need to purchase. That may cost us $1,000. Well, it should be 500 then, right, maybe? So 500, and
are we doing the 4-inch?
Yeah.
So, now if we did gravel underneath it that would pack, you know, with some fines in it.
Yeah, then we would, that much if you're only doing 4-inch slab.
Yeah, we would have, you know, maybe $900 or something instead of. So, what do we want to do?
I think you should put the slab in.
If we're going to do it, let's do it right from the beginning.
And it'll look really nice.
I think it, you know, we have a chance here to build something really nice. And the one thing that, having worked on so many things around here at Deer Springs, that have been done halfway, and you know, and mostly the water system where we run from eggshell pipe to something else. It's, I mean, they did the best they could with what they had.
Right.
But if we're doing something from scratch, let's do it right from the beginning and save ourselves at it.
We want to put a footing in case we want to put a fireplace or something in one end or someplace.
Are you talking? And then you had to put a monolithic slab.
It wouldn't be an open fire.
I can get a permit. Especially up there right next to the ponds with water.
So if we're thinking about building, you know, and Paul's talked about filling one end with kind of a cooking area with a big fireplace, maybe we want to.
I would have a footing underneath.
I got to ask you a question.
I don't think it's big enough.
Before we do all this, do we have anything with slabs out here yet? Have we put concrete slabs out here yet? You got a freeze problem out here.
Right.
So you're talking, you think we're going to have frost heave on?
We will have a frost break on the edge of that concrete because it's going to get under the
but
edge of that.
But it isn't going to be any worse than Cedar Mountain or other areas, so.
What can we do to circumvent this?
Well, I'll tell you what you can do.
What's that?
Just
well, I know what you can do. All you got to do is we're going to backfill up to the edge of the concrete, but we're going to run a plastic
membrane
sheathing all the way down and out to about 18 inches to 24 inches and make it and then backfill it. We'll have to do that. We pour the slab in and we can do that. That'll help.
Does that drain the water away from the edge?
Yeah, it takes the water.
Keep it away from it, building up underneath the edge.
And that's another good reason why keeping it underneath the drip line is a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
They'll need to do like a thickened edge around it, you know.
What about the monolithic slab?
Yeah.
She can go. You won't have to do more than 6 inches, but run that little viz clean or around the edge.
Okay, let's look at trying to do it that way then.
Okay, well, I've got to, this works out so well for me, I've got to go to talk to the building inspector on Monday anyway, so I'll take this in.
These are your copies?
Oh. Okay.
And then what about the equipment with the Perlin? That's the GP. There's only 12 or a couple of
We can get the forklift. I got to do a little teeny bit of work on it, but by the time we're ready to go, I can get that forklift up there.
We can rent one of them at my friend's.
Well, you ought to be able to do that with your backhoe, with the bucket. Your bucket has plenty of reach for 14 feet.
Yeah, 14.
It's not very far. We left a lot of roofing with the backhoe.
About to go over. I get the middle one.
Thanks, Ryder.
Dave, are you happen to bring some guys down that you have to pay to do this, or we're just kind of ready to
Now, do they have to be vertical?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen some of these contemporary designs that they don't have to be on that.
I just thought I'd ask. You know, you never know where you are.
Cover it with tin. That was here.
Okay. Anything else on that? I think this will be good, actually, guys. I mean, getting this barn done this year, like Dave said, for 10 years we've been talking about doing the barn. For 10 years we've been talking about doing a pavilion. You know, if we can get these done this year, that's
Wait,
really
now we
also nice
have one more thing, yes, and that is that ad that we were talking about for RV. You talked about at least putting one in with septic thing, but we never you never told me exactly where you want it.
You don't even have a.
By the top of the airstrip.
Say, show me.
So we have to put a septic system.
Right.
That's all right. That's easy.
Well, we talked about putting a dump station not there.
We don't have a
outhouse
such a camper
pond. I'm not going to see one this year. Unless,
the board,
unless the board wants me to.
You just put, you know, they made them all the time before out of lumber where you used to be up for that.
Alright, next item. Cabin door for number 6. John Harris. I don't know. John must have run into some unusual schedule. Right?
Yeah, he used to.
So we'll have to see what he wants to do there. I think we just keep encouraging him. He's got good ideas, and go ahead and get them done. Corrections still needed for the deed restrictions. I talked to our attorney on that, and he said that we can go ahead and draft up the documents to have that done and probably ought to do it in conjunction with the annual meeting. So if everybody's okay with that, I have searched high and low, and I'm pretty darn convinced, having talked to the past several presidents and looked at all their records and tell my eyes went googly, that it just never got done.
No, oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't that
nobody
it got done
that.
And somebody forgot to record it or something. It just never happened.
You know what? That's happened on several things where they, you know, all just gets
dropped. Current county zone changes. I'm going to give you just a quick update. We've made a lot of great headway. However, the big thing that I'm still really concerned about is the ranch is zoned forest recreation. And forest recreation is not in the current zoning ordinance. I've been into them at least 3 different meetings and requested, please simply add forest recreation into your current zoning ordinance, because, and I've asked, do you disagree that that's the current zone for these? Well, no, but, they still are leaning to want to convert it over to this RACR9 thing. And so I met with the chairman of planning and zoning this week, and they have a meeting next week, and he asked me to come in again and talk to him about it and explain the reasons why. So I'm still working on it, and I will keep working on it. And I don't know why they simply don't just make that change. Here's what the problem is. Here's what they're stuck on now. The current zone ordinance is in a specific format that's approved by the state. Just kind of its template. Not what it says, but you know, the structure of it. And the Forest Rec zone is not in that structure. So he told me if I would put it in the new structure, so I could say, here it simply is, will you please just put it in there, then that they would probably go. So I don't know. It's like an hour's worth of typing, I guess, so I'll do it. You know, it is amazing. It's very frustrating for me.
Well, I guess the question that I raise is that this sounds like, and I realize that you've been going and going again, butting heads with them for a long time. So when I say this, don't take it for what it sounds like. It seems like a really simple thing. You know, I mean, you go in, you request this change, somebody makes the change, right? Okay.
I'm not even requesting change. I'm requesting.
They have category.
Right. Okay.
Validate.
Okay. Yeah. Please validate. Okay. And so it just seems like you are butting your head up again. A brick wall.
He's on California time.
Yes. Anyway, okay.
So, anyway,
hello.
What's your encouragement?
Well, wait. Maybe we need to send somebody with more of a personality in.
Hello, everybody.
Good
morning and get a share of your troubles.
Well, I know. And one thing I would encourage any of you to do is if you'll write to them or even write to them and give it to me because you don't know who they are, so I can hand deliver 6 other letters and say, look, here's, you know, 6 other people that feel this way. The fact of the matter is, they tried to do this change and we stopped them. But now we're in no man's land. And they know, if they try to do it again, that we'll rally and have 200 people there in the meeting again. But yet they aren't quite willing to just ratify the way it is. I don't know why. But anyway.
Maybe they're going to Obama us.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Obama side.
We also need to write letters to the county or to the BLM about the problems that we're having with our vehicles and the extra expense and everything because of the road, so that they have record of that, correct?
No.
No. Never mind.
It's a waste of time.
Scratch that.
They probably don't care.
They don't.
If I had all my trust here, I can show
you.
They've had the hearing for the en banc appeal, and we're awaiting the decision, which could come out in between now and 5 months from now.
When they get around to it.
So, good progress is being made on the county's legal business on several issues. But I think you could talk to the BLM and for a long time
they're not going to do anything.
They're not going to take action on it. Even if they agree the county should take action on it, they're not going to.
One of the funniest things, we went out to the end of the Johnson, or went out to Scoot and Paul, Paul and I, and there were, how many, 7 guys putting up that sign?
Oh, yeah.
There were 7 guys putting up that sign there, BLM people, that were putting up the sign for that new, you know, kiosk thing right there where they made all that stuff.
How many people were there putting up the posts that go around?
Exactly.
And why didn't they just use the area that was already
there?
I have no idea.
10 times the space.
I know. Because people were damaging that one.
So move it like 100 feet over here and start a new area.
Yeah, no one will damage it where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you. How many people were really
working? How much your business alive if you operate like that way?
About one half of a day.
I'll tell you what. When we were looking at that, we were thinking that's a, you know, they got seven guys working all day. That's a half day's work for one guy.
Yeah, I stopped and talked to them there one day when they were working on it. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Well, we're making a place here when we pull off. And I'm like, this whole big place right here.
Right.
You know, the people have been pulling off for 20 years. What's wrong with that place? Well, it's not technically on this road, you know.
Somebody in Washington?
No, it's not Washington. It's local. State.
You have working underneath you and where you pay.
That's right.
And so,
just hire them all. NFL stand there, and you will.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Enough on that issue. Let's go back to number 13, Mr. John Harris is now here with us.
Do you have another?
Do we have another agenda for Mr. Harris?
Yes, I do. I need to know one too. I've been working on it.
You
right on that one?
No. Cabin doors.
Yeah,
number six.
I don't have another. Yeah, I sent a email. Is there a place here that we can get the kind of door that we want? Brad, unfortunately, we couldn't get it settled for him when he's up here the first time, but he's willing to come back up and work on that.
Yeah, do we, Lumber Plus, Aaron can ask, Thermal True doors, do we just need to order them and bring them up here?
Yeah, we need to order them. Our problem is we get the ones that just fit in,
yeah,
you know, with the frames and everything. They come in standard sizes, and you can't really cut those because they're the fiberglass ones, I think, that we were talking about.
You can cut the length on them, the bottom of them.
Only a certain amount.
Yeah, a certain amount, yeah.
Yeah, the exterior ones, so no, yeah. They have the threshold plate with them and
yeah.
Everything. So we just need to measure the opening. Yeah. We'll go down to Lumber Plus and say, it needs to be this size.
That's right.
They'll get one ordered that's...
That's right.
You know,
I think every one of these things are different on these things. And
that's
the
amazing.
Got a little cattywampus. Well... Brad is a that's what he used to do for a living.
He's a professional door hanger.
So
who needs to measure those, John? We just need the measurements, and I can get them ordered.
Okay.
Does
well,
Brad
I will. I can get a tape and go and. I know that Brad has already taken some measurements.
If he has them, because I know we what we need is the what would be the rough opening.
Yeah. That's right. I think Brad already has that.
So can you tell him to email that to me?
And yes, I'll email the sizes to
we you. Want doors with windows in them, right?
Yeah, whatever way you want.
Okay.
Doors with windows.
From the nine light?
And any...
From the nine light? Like the little grids on them?
Yeah, they have a nine pane or whatever. They're just one pane, but they have the...
And that screen on that screen door on that thing is about to fall off. I noticed that last week when I was up here.
Do we want a door that has a screen door?
I think that would be smart. That screen there is nothing. It's not fixable. It just needs to be trashed.
Okay, so we'll get new door for number six. If we get the dimensions, we'll order the doors and we'll have them there. Then when he comes,
he'll come and I'll come up and help him with them.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay. Fire protection we covered. Jody Acres.
Okay, well, we're kind of getting lucky. We're going to be bringing up a... It's a park model, so it's called an RV, but county wants to call it a modular, whatever. So I'm trying to learn more about that. But I had a whole Google map with everything labeled, and then that changed this morning when I went with your son-in-law. This might be the one doing it. So anyway, this is just a hand drawing that is what I proposed for what we're going to do for a lot.
And,
right, here's what we need, and the county will need this too.
Well, this is just a rough draft from today.
Right, I'm just telling you so you kind of know. Mainly, we need something that shows the setbacks and stuff from the property lines, what they call a plot plan. So something like this, sketched by hand, would work as long as you can say, well, it's 285 feet from this line.
For the road. And
so much from this corner. I personally don't know that we should necessarily allow the county to reinterpret the park model.
That's right. That's
because
right.
The park model does not require a permit.
I've been through two of them, and the girl would answer the phone, and then when she wasn't there the next time, the guy in the back, and then I talked to you, Bob, last night. And
well, this is a problem with the county right now.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I ran as county commissioner is they're making up their rules as they go.
Right. There is nothing.
And there is not a requirement for you to have a building permit for this
for park model.
Park model.
Apparently, what they wanted when you got electrical hookups, they want to see that, but you don't have it here.
You need to get a septic tank permit,
uh-huh.
and legitimately go through that process. But you know, and you talked to Bob Becker; he put his up there without one. So I'm not saying if you feel like you're being browbeat into going some ways, then that's kind of your decision, but that's my understanding of the ordinances, and I guarantee you, if you ask certain individuals like Gary Smith, well, should I do this or do this or do that, sure, you need to.
Yeah.
And you say, well, where does it say in your ordinance that that's a requirement? Oh, well, you know, you just need to do it.
No, just don't do it. Don't even go in
there.
Don't open the can of worms.
Okay, so that's okay, and that's good with me. But then again, like 2 years down the road, are they going to come back and slam me?
No.
Well, listen, I'm just saying from the board, we're just educating you. We're not telling you what to do.
No, I'm asking you.
And I can't tell you.
Okay.
I can just tell you that the county's posture is that they've continued to try to make up requirements that they have no foundation in doing so.
Okay.
And I haven't personally seen it, but the exclusion for the park model exists. Yeah. I know it. I know
and,
it does.
It's
an obvious. Yeah. So I have an issue with it personally, but you know, for your own protection, your own legal advice, we're not qualified or here to give you anything more than our opinion.
Okay.
But it's kind of frustrating.
Appreciate the opinion, though.
It would seem like it's not an ordinance right now, and they charge you when they weren't charging other people, and there's a tremendous discrimination issue on that.
It's like, okay, we decided this week that we're going to start doing that because we want more money than
that. Yeah. So that wouldn't be very good PR.
Well, there's just a feeling, and it's not a feeling of malice intended. I mean, Gary Smith's opinion is that, well, it's for your own protection, you ought to go through all this process, and you'll end up with a better product, and then it will all be done right. You know, that's kind of he's not trying to worry about collecting a little bit more fees, I don't think.
No.
But his feeling is that regulations need to be there to you know, protect you from yourself and to ensure a better product. And there's some, you know, validity to that, but I personally am on the other side where, you know, well, we're still in America and we have some freedoms, and we have the liability that comes with that freedom, so don't try to protect me from myself every time I come around. Anyway, that's just kind of an issue.
Okay. So for board approval, I resubmit this to you with the lot lines.
Yeah.
And email you a PDF file, and then you can sign off on it.
Yeah.
We've got a plan of it coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we it's nice to maybe see the square footage dimensions and a few other things that we've normally got for the files.
And
part of this and bringing up...
So why we're looking at it all is to ensure that it conforms with our deed restrictions. So this is your first dwelling on the property. It's not your sixth one. Or something like that.
You're set back far enough.
Set back far enough off of the road that, you know, you're not in the easements and so forth. Those are the reasons why we're trying to look at it at all. And so, you know, that's why we need some dimensions.
So will she not need these then?
Yeah, she, well, to get your building permit, you know, and we're happy to give you this authorization for water hauling letter. This is what we've put together and done for others.
They're all the same.
So
the last one is a blank copy.
And you have one for our records to keep the blank.
Yeah.
So there's those for you. So you have those to move ahead with should you choose to to need to have a building permit.
And when they bring this in, it's 12 feet wide, and some of the roads, the foliage is more than 12, or less than 12 feet wide, so the plus of the stratus swing, and he'll be glad to cut some of that back for me. I don't think we have to remove any trees.
I think as long as you're not removing trees, I don't think that's an issue. Does anybody have any concerns?
Anything that's hanging over the roadbed and is going to create a problem should be cut back anyway. So you'll be doing us a favor.
I was hoping that the fire guys would say, okay, guys, do that now.
Yeah.
I'm ready for my house.
Yeah.
We'll do it if it comes in then. That's okay.
So is the problem on that stretch coming in past the rock pile? Is that where it is?
There's a little bit of problem. There's like 10 to 13 trees in that area, and then there's two on the driveway.
And they're going to do that in the next couple of weeks?
No. This is the area that we're treating, she wouldn't have a problem with. What she's talking about is Broad Hollow, where it narrows up, and then up her personal driveway, where it's the trees are encroached upon this road.
Right past the first caligar, before the granite pit?
No, that's after the gravel pit.
Okay, yeah, it really gets closed in right there.
There's a problem there?
Yeah.
Okay, now that might be cleared up for you, because that's the treatment area. Oh, well,
we have no influence on it.
It'll be done when it's done.
Yeah, I know. We'll get it done.
If I have to do it for them.
Yeah,
if you do their job for them, that'd be a real problem.
So we have to get that done for you. And yeah, the plan on the hauling of the water and the leaf spring issue, just to bring it up, because it was kind of skipped over. But there's really nobody responding anymore to emails about that. So, you know, wanting to save money on the budget this year, we can look at it and address it again next summer.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting anybody else interested, and they were the ones interested personally.
Any other lot owners interested? Mm-hmm. All right.
That, so
is it you and Brent?
Well, I don't even need it because I'm not well. I was just helping.
Rubber gauze and
I think from the association standpoint, the thing we wanted to look at was at least getting the spring to a point where it came out and had a pipe that somebody could hook onto. And we ought to still be working on that. And that's kind of a Ben issue that I can talk to him about. But that's probably our only action for the board is to try to get something better defined.
And I really would like to put those water catchments in on the north, those north and south washes on Broad Hollow there.
Yeah.
Simply to bug Bell Johnson some more. So that's part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, kid.
That was an official just
I didn't catch part of what you just said there, but I think that later on, next season, we'll start looking at that lease plans again to develop for the area.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, it'll be developed for the ranch type of thing. We want to make it so we could hook a pipe on there. I mean, if you think about it, one of the things that would be really nice, what if we were able to develop leaf spring to a point where there was a standpipe out on the road where people could haul water from?
Right.
You know, I mean,
that'd be great.
I mean, you'd have much less tree, Brent Jacobson, all these people that haul wouldn't have to go nearly as far.
Right.
Also, yeah. Just FYI, we did have another thing that we did do good on with the county, because they were back on the not allowing water hauling routine again. And, you know, Gary Smith, just as a poor example, he denied somebody's building permit here at Deer Springs.
And that was Mike and Mary.
Mike and Mary said, oh, we're not allowing water hauling anymore out there. So that's just an example of, okay, Gary's interpretation, we're not allowing this. When there's no ordinance to put up, we challenged it. I talked to him and the various people in the county, and so they officially put it on their agenda for next week to ratify, so it is an agenda item for them to vote on to assert that for existing subdivisions that water hauling will be allowed. And there was also a question, what about somebody that's not in a subdivision? I own 400 acres out in, you know, somewhere. Do I have to, can I allow water hauling? And they agreed to allow that. So no new development, no new creation of lots, but existing lots or undeveloped land would continue to have water hauling as an option.
So if somebody else wants to subdivide their land and be able to haul water, they aren't going to be able to do it from the dam on.
Yes. And that's really been that way for 10 or 15 years. They just tried to, you know, now leak it over onto us. It really restricts development, that's for sure, but that's just the way it is. Windmill, we should have talked about in your report. I think the windmill got blown over at just after we paid $2,500 to get it fixed and damaged beyond repair without paying another $2,500. Brent and Paul have determined that we could put in a solar system for about $1,600-$1,700. So we've elected to move the windmill more around headquarters here just to have it be a nice aesthetic looking thing, and put in a solar system there. But we can't even we can't even put in a solar system there without having the jumper rods and stuff pulled out of the pipe. So I think we're kind of on hold until Walter Crump gets here. Perhaps when he gets here, maybe by some miracle, he'll say, "Oh, I can hook this all up, no problem. We'll get it back functioning again." Chances are slim to none, but...
So was the plan to bring the windmill back down here?
I think so.
Now, there is a...
I think it'll get stolen if it's sitting there on the ground.
There's a member that wants to buy it.
There's been several members who would like to buy it.
Yeah, I don't think we want to sell it. I think we want to protect it.
There is a monument or marker.
Yeah, kind of strapped a survey marker sort of strapped to it.
To give that to BLM or drive it to ground.
Unstrap it and leave it there.
But I think bringing it over here would make it would be nice. I think it would look good.
I think we should not break it anymore. Personal opinion.
Well, I agree with that.
I don't know if you got this email, but I was thinking if we can make it kind of a with the solar over there, we could take the panel to pop out really easy. We can move it and kind of
use it when
bring it over here to the irrigation well, take it up to, you know, wherever it gets to Half Moon Reservoir where that windmill is.
How deep is it?
84 feet.
That doesn't sound easy to me.
Well, it's not. It's really, I pull my pump all the time. We can do it, so we can make it easy. We can take it out and we can move the sound.
Flexible hose?
Mm-hmm.
I got polypipe. We're talking small volumes of water, and
okay. Well, we know that we probably have to get it functional by this fall.
Right.
But Walter's already been put on notice to pull the sucker rod out when he comes, right?
I thought we were. You know, didn't we? Wasn't there some question about getting Richard if he could do it? Because if Richard can do it, you know.
Give us more money. If he can do it.
Yeah, I can get a hold of him.
Yeah, well, what's your experience with Richard, huh?
Tell us.
Yeah, with that equipment that's been sitting on your property for the last 5 years.
Eight years.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
I thought Walter's already coming out here for work on somebody else's well sometime this fall.
No, he's done with Bellers. I don't know what else he's got out here going on. I was under this communication gap then, because I was under the assumption we were going to try to get Richard.
Right, that's the last we remember. We had that meeting with.
Yeah.
What about the fellow who's
assumption we're going to get Richard.
Okay.
Crossed Richard off my list 6 years ago.
Okay.
What about the fellow the big fellow in Fletcher in Canada?
Alma would probably do it. He just doesn't like driving that scooting paw.
So I would talk to Walter again.
Is Walter still there? I thought Jack was taking over.
Right. Brent,
yeah.
Are you going to be out here sometime in Kane County?
You can come over and pull it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give us a kind of a maximum price just to hook onto that thing and get it out?
Jerk it out. Okay. I shall talk to him.
Yeah. I don't know, is there any of the parts that he would jerk out that he could use since he just put them in?
That 3-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that pipe,
what are we going to do for more cattle guards?
the other thing is, you know, I mean, just replace those leathers. I mean, they got to be, what did they get? Maybe 4 or 5 strokes and then
right.
And it fell over.
Really?
I mean, they're basically brand new.
I don't know. Maybe talk to him about, is there any reclaim value of any of the stuff that he would pull out?
I can ask him.
Moorings. I mean, it would be the perfect scenario for you.
Moorings come up. Yeah, so.
And you're real successful if you could say, Robin, if you come over, you can have all the parts that you pull out of there if you'll do it for free.
I'll ask him, and I'll even put my best personality face on.
How about on your knees?
More often than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The newsletter we needed to talk about, we need to get a letter out, like, next week to solicit nominations that we'll need to have so we can do our letter for the annual meeting for board positions. The only board positions that are not up for election is Brent, Dirk, and Ben.
I think I'm on two.
Were you just on 1 year?
Oh, I'm on two. I'm in another year.
Well, that's not what the annual meeting minutes said. I read them yesterday.
But, last year?
Yeah. But anyway, whatever it says, we need to reiterate that in our letter and say, here's the positions that are open, and solicit nominations. I personally am unsure, and so is Ben unsure, that we can run next year, so we may have more. Has Ben talked to you, Linda?
No.
You mean run this year? I mean, be in the on the board next year? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes,
I mean next month.
I thought he was saying it in a roundabout way. I just wanted to come right out and say
it. Commissioner Dirk.
I have one question.
I suspect I'll end up in a lot of conflict of interest.
You're going to be totally in a conflict. You've got to get out. I mean, it's so, that simple.
I don't think I can do good for the board in that position.
As long as you don't change sides.
The beauty of it is having you on.
Part model.
I'm actually looking forward to going toe to toe. Oh, is that right, Commissioner? Well, here.
Yeah. And then I'll say, hey, Sheriff. Can you please put
that in the quicker? Did you win that with
pretty much. I mean, I'm on the November ballot, but I'm the only name on the ballot. So
that's good. I haven't signed up to run yet.
If I lose that, you know that I really messed up. Which could happen. But hey, that's an issue. I could possibly be a board member.
But not, not the president of the board. Yeah.
I don't think
Well, I think you could be a board member. I just don't think you could be the president of the board.
From last thing, Kurt Clayson, president, 2-year term. Ben Carson, vice president, 2-year term. David Sills, secretary, 1 year remaining on term, and that's the position that was vacated that Dave Turley took, but it still is a position that needs to be reported. And Dave Turley, I really anxious to...
It already expires.
Well, doing that pavilion work.
Sean Cox, 1 year remaining on track.
Well, I know after this one, so.
No, that
was the last one.
Yeah.
Have I been in 2 years?
No, but some of us, some people, were re-elect. Like my position, if I resign, that board position will now just be a 1 year position. Whoever fills my place. So you must have filled some position that somebody vacated before their term was up. I don't know how it got this way. This is just how it is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could be out next month.
The majority.
Woohoo! Brad Palmer, member, 16-year term.
When you get to be commissioner, give me the 3 days in a pokey.
If I could ever give you 3 days, man, you better watch that.
Oh, it's just for the 4 jokes alone.
Chris Bomer, member, 2 year term. Ed Belinsky, member, 1 year remaining on term. And Ed was a board member before as well. John Harris, 1 year remaining, and John was before. So I think John and Ed, aren't you the only two that were on from the...
Never signed. The holdover.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why the rest of us, even though we're elected, some are 1 year and some are 2 years.
Yeah, I come in as an appointment on 6 months, and then I
So we've got 7 board members, and we've got probably 6 of them that are going to need to decide how we're going to fill those positions. I personally think that, you know, all of you that are on the board have been doing a great job. I think it's been a great board, and I would encourage you to consider running again.
Under great leadership.
And as for me, I am just trying to decide board member or not.
You would be good as a board member. You've done a heck of a job.
You can get your 2 cents and then still be good.
Well, okay. Real
estate.
So anyhow, that being said, we need a letter that kind of goes out stating that at a minimum we've got 4 vacancies, we need nominations, and I don't know if in the if there are any of you that are interested in staying again, we maybe even should put that in the letter.
Yes.
We should say there are 4 positions open, you know, so and so and so and so have indicated that they would agree to be on the ballots for revote, but we need, you know, some additional nominations for at least 2 more positions or something like that, so we don't panic the membership unduly by saying, well, everybody's leaving.
We're out of here.
And, So, I think we need to kind of wordsmith through that letter carefully, and I will help do that. I'd like to do that as basically, though, the president's message associated with a regular newsletter. And so if you can work with Nancy to get the newsletter regular, and then I will work to type up some type of a president's message encouraging this. And I'd like to know each of you board members privately, if you would let me know if you want to be mentioned as interested in rerunning or not. And not that, I mean, I don't think you have to decide right now if you're uncomfortable with that. That's why I am personally a little bit. Maybe by the time I write this inspirational message, I will have that sorted out. But we need to do something here in the next week-ish to get that newsletter out. And we'll send it out, email.
And then I mail to those that I don't have.
Yeah, and just how many are you mailing to now? Like 50 or?
No, I ate all of that.
I just ate probably 50 or
80. There's still a lot by mail. So, okay.
Do you want the call for nominations about the newsletter?
No, I'd love it to be just the president's message of the newsletter. And we can then attach this postcard or just say email back for those that are emailing.
Okay.
And so the postcard shouldn't explain anything. It should just say, I nominate for the board, blah, blah, blah.
I do have a question on this, that September meeting. Are we going to do as we have some in the past, have another awesome thing at the fundraiser? If we are, I need to know. So I'll know whether to make an act to auction off or not.
We have had some great night. Right. The first year we did it was great. The second year we did it
wasn't as good.
Everybody lost the novelty of it. It's funny how some things never work the first year until you do it 10 years.
Some things only work the first year.
But I don't see any harm in doing it.
I'll make a knife to auction off. It brings in a few bucks.
Auction off the windmill.
I got a new roof on the deck.
Windmill look good right out here someplace.
Well, that's my thought.
Oh yeah.
I'm unclear. Price who are the four that are not coming back? You? I mean, that are not.
The only three that are staying is Brent, Ben, and Dirk. Yep, we stay.
Everybody else is off.
But I will word all of that part of the letter as the president's message.
Okay.
Where's my wife right
there? I did want to mention also Johnson Cattle. Here's the discussion I had with Johnson's, and I told him I would validate this with the board. They've now on their second year of trying to plant crops that would be sufficient to mechanically harvest. And this probably had to be the record wettest year ever, and so if it didn't work great on a year like this, nobody's super optimistic that it will work on an ongoing basis. And so they basically have said, we don't want to do this anymore, but we want to be able to graze off our crops. And what they are kind of saying at the same time, though, is we want to graze our crops and everything around that in between our crops and the next fence like they did last fall.
And how about ripping them up?
Well, the fact of the matter is it ripped up their cropland, which is not the big concern. The big concern is we then hold that out from Hunt's grazing, where we get paid $17 an AUM. And there's more feed in the stuff that they're grazing than in the stuff that they've planted, in my general assessment, maybe excepting the welfare.
But on the other hand, I don't see how we can really say to them, well, if you can't mechanically harvest and if you don't have that done by this day, we're going to, you know, turn it out loose and take it away from you. I think it's a failed effort on their part.
Can't we put more grass seed out again this year?
Everything they planted down here, broad hollow and below, was a annual. So we have two or three problems. For sure, see, the wild field, they can put their cows in and they can contain it. Whether they mechanically harvest it, or they put their cows in and they trample it to the dust bed, who cares? It was their experiment, and I think their opportunity to utilize how they want it. Now, they have started cutting it.
Just for the record, they're probably going to harvest a good 200 acres.
Yeah, so it has done something. So they started cutting the well field, right? But they've also brought cows in part of the well.
They're going to graze this field right here, and then from the well out to the Scutumbaugh.
These are their cattle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a farmer, but it would seem to me that, you know, the land needs to be built up, and they harvest it, but the stubble would be plowed under.
And well, that's right, not enough.
Does it not get richer?
If you're planting sorghums or corn or something like that that had that side benefit, but the triticale, no.
This is this meat.
I was raised on a farm, but I was a little kid.
I think from a sustainability side, we see more forage production in the areas that Paul mowed than the areas they've been planting.
Without question.
And so, without question. And so what we need to do is take all those areas that they planted annual crops in them and plant them into some perennial grasslands or something, so that we don't have, you know, new weed patches this fall.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we've got two or three problems. The seed cost for the perennials is like 10 times the cost of the annual. And obviously, if they're going to plant it for us, and I've talked to them about possibly if we allow you to kind of graze your crops and the surrounding areas, because we don't have any fences to do otherwise this one year, would you kind of work with us to reseed and plant these areas and it kind of give us at least a reasonable price to do so, or maybe we'll allow you to graze those next year or something. But we're probably going to have to work out some kind of a horse trade with them, because, you know, we've got 350 acres maybe total.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got to reseed into something that we know we can't do the same thing as we did the last 2 years. And I think if we reseed it, you know, I mean, they've done some good work in terms of brush removal and rock removal and you know, improving the area. But I don't think we can possibly say, oh, well, let's not do anything with it, or we'll end up with, you know,
weed dust
and tumbleweed.
Or you have rabbit brush going like crazy.
And so, anyhow, what I told them this year, I think we would allow them to basically have the run of the ranch from the broad hollow area to the well field here.
From the drift fence?
Yeah.
They've been over there on that side of the cow's house.
Those are 12 of Doug's cows.
Yes. The ones with horns are Doug's. The ones with no horns.
That's why I wonder.
Not a Doug's.
Now, you're talking about this side of the road is where the longhorns are on this side?
They're,
I'm talking about on the other side.
Yeah, they're over there too.
Yeah.
Those had horns?
They mine only the babies. They'll still have little horns. But Johnson's won't have anything.
Right. Well, yeah, I've been watching
the
that.
The same as my head.
No, I was surprised looking at those little calves down there that have horns sticking out.
Yeah.
That long.
Right.
They start early, don't they?
Well, yeah.
And you know what? Those little calves like that are expensive.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at mine with purchases.
So with the cattle on the ranch, do our managers have to do anything with the cattle on these?
Well, the expectation for Johnson's is that they needed to take care of them. Speaking of Johnson's, hauling in cows.
No, hauling out a bull.
Okay, hauling out a bull. So, do you guys all agree Johnson should be entitled to kind of the run of those areas, even though it kind of takes production out that we could get paying other cows in for?
Well, maybe they're
for kind of this one year.
Can I say something real quick? Just last year when they had the cows here, it took a lot of my time because I had to babysit the kids. I was babysitting the cows. I don't mind them doing it as long as they have some way taking care of their own cows rather than me doing it.
I've tried to make that clear to them. But I suspect it will be one of those situations that we'll be glad when the cows are gone. No matter what.
So, they don't listen very well.
The cows?
Yeah.
No, the cows seem to... They like to get out and get into places.
But see, for example, they're going to be putting in... They've wanted to put in almost 70 head.
Yeah.
So can you imagine if we had 70 head more being paid for, or even 50? I mean, that's a huge cost to us to continue to do the same thing again next year.
Yeah.
I don't think we can do it. But on the other hand, we may be looking at, if we just hired somebody to plant this acreage, having to spend $15,000 to do it. So we kind of are somewhat obligated to try to find some horse trading options with them, at least to get us through where we've got it reseeded. Did we ever get a broadcast here for the tractor?
No.
You found some new prices, about $400, a PTO-driven one.
Yeah.
Because Paul could see that, you know, any of our perennials wouldn't be drilled. They'd just be broadcast.
Okay. It wouldn't have to be harrowed in or anything.
Sometimes we may want to drag a light chain behind or something, but we don't need any expensive equipment.
It works better if you do have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a seed.
The birds will eat it up
like crazy.
I don't mind
that. I'm a seed I put out there. The birds ate.
Well, we plant late fall.
Yeah, like 4 cents.
And so just be aware we got kind of a side issue we're going to have to deal with, and things are not ideal, but I think that's probably as far as we can be. Everybody kind of go along with that. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any other items for our official board meeting before we go look at Russ?
Number 18.
Yeah. Be aware of it.
That's 18.
Yeah. All right.
Go for it.
Okay.
There you go.
I move we officially adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Not that, Dirk. 3 hours, 2 minutes.